All right. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome. Sorry.
Good evening, everybody. This is a special meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canotillo Independent School District. Today is July 18, 2011. Time is 6:13 p.m. Tony, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Strauss?
Here.
All right, takes us to agenda item 2A, Tony.
Item 2 is Superintendent's comments, Dr. Martin.
President Coronado, board members, audience members, thank you. We've had a great summer so far. Three big items, and I just want to highlight very briefly is our energy management shutdown. We are into our second summer, our second year of doing energy management shutdowns, where every building, including central office, for a period of time over the summer is shut down. Currently, the high school is under energy management this week, and no one is in and out of the high school, and it's completely shut down. Central office did it, and every other school did it for 2 weeks. And I just want to report that it's going along very well, and we're looking at $20,000 to $30,000 in energy savings due to the management shutdown, similar to how we did last year. Nesto, is that a good figure? Okay, about somewhere in there? Thank you. Also want to report that we've started to make strides on the wastewater project at Canyon Middle School. We did go over with Gustavo, myself, Ernesto. We did take facility stakeholders committee members with us, South Payon, and
Mr. Nunnery.
Mark Nunnery, and we met with Ed Archuleta. We had about an hour-long meeting with him. One of the neat things about it was we were able to educate him about the situation. He was not really up to speed about it, but we were able to get in front of him, and I think that we're going to get a really good resolution from them. They are taking the month of July to study it on their own. They sent people out. We've had representatives from PSB in the district over the last couple of weeks working with Ernesto, going out and doing a site analysis of what the situation is, and we're going to get back together in early August. So really looking forward to that. And then our summer leadership calendar, we have been working very hard. It's in here. I just wanted to provide for you kind of a back-to-school calendar as to how we look. We have leadership meeting on Wednesday, and then, of course, the board meetings. Please notice that on August 4th, 8th, and 9th, we'll be hosting a CISD Leadership Institute with all the principals and the entire leadership team. We're going to get together for at least 2.5 days, if not all 3 full days, to talk about our curriculum, the new STAR test, goals for this year, and issues of finance. Academy will be in there, Finance Business Academy will be in there. Really looking forward to it. And then on the 15th, and I invite the board, on the 15th, we will be having our second annual $500 Canyon ISD convocation. It's the official title, Canyon ISD $500 convocation, where we spend a total budget of $500 and we have all the employees get together and have a nice event for them on the 15th. And of course, all board members are invited. We'll have a morning session and an afternoon session. And then back to school from there. So very busy, but things are moving very quickly toward the next, and in a positive way towards the next school year. Thank you, President.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Any comments from the board? All right. Hearing none, we'll go on to the next agenda item.
Item 3A, discussion, review, and possible action regarding board committees and related policies. Mrs. Searles?
Yes, thank you. I asked for this to be put on because, well, one of the main reasons is I see us staying awfully late at night. And I think that we could possibly cut that time a little bit if we had some, I don't know, preview and of our agenda and of our items. And with that come knowledge and anything that would be questioned or, you know, discussed, we could take up at the committee meetings, such as we do with the ones we presently have. our finance and facilities, our curriculum and personnel. But I don't think we're meeting on a very regular basis in our personnel and curriculum committee. I think we're trying to meet regularly in our finance, but we've missed a few times. And I don't mean, you know, this is not blame. This is just, you know, the way it's been. We've had it tough. We've had a lot to do. But I would like to see us now that, you know, some of the pressure's off, we move back and start with our policy in having these committees become active once again. And with that said, as well, I think that we are very capable of handling our bond money. The CBAC, everything I've ever heard said it didn't work. It was not efficient. It did not work. In fact, it was bad, is what I understood. I've seen two superintendent-appointed committees since I've been on the board in, well, November. Out of those came two of the worst enemies of our district. I didn't, or so I've heard. I don't go online. I really can't say. But, so I guess that's, you know, kind of secondhand rumor. So I think that's, you know, something I've never seen or experienced, and I don't think it's good business. I also think that as a board, by the time other committees' recommendations come to us, people have spent a lot of time, a lot of effort on their thoughts, on their recommendations. When it comes to the board, if we then tell them, no, we don't really think that's going to be the way it is, somebody's feelings are going to be hurt, somebody's toes are going to be stepped on, and in my opinion, it will be bad for board community relations. And I wouldn't blame the people on any special committees, because you think, hey, I looked into all of that, I did all of this, and, you know, why can't they take my suggestion or our suggestion? You know, who are they to go, you know, second-guessing us? Well, the truth of the matter is we are the board, and we are where the buck stops. We are the governing body of this district, and we do have liabilities. I think that our board committees are set up as such that we have two board members, one chair, one administrator, and all the public, and that equals accountability and governance. So I would like to see us, in lieu of having just a public or hand-picked or I don't know how committee for our bond oversight, I would like to see that begin to go into this rejuvenation and renovation of our board committees. And in so doing, we can hear about, you know, at curriculum, personnel, what it's going to take to get the new school staffed, what it's going to take to teach the children who go there. It's a whole new setup. We've never had a K-8 or pre-K-8 school before. The board will be on board, and by the time the recommendation comes to us, we've already been a part of that recommendation. So I'd like the, you know, us as a board to recognize that, remember, and know that we do have the authority and the responsibility to do what's right with our bond and with, you know, everything else that we do. So I guess that's all. I just kind of wanted to go over it and, you know, hope that we'll renew these and with such a zest that whatever time we could agree upon that, you know, the finance one will happen every whatever day. The personnel curriculum will happen every month on some other day. That we have a set day, a set time, and the public can also count on that happening and being there, and it not being such a rigid meeting, instead being more of a round table.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Searles.
That's awful long-winded. Sorry, guys.
All right. Anybody have any comments? Mr. Rodriguez.
I think what we need also, is on the, we need some type of structure set in place. We have it's the first Tuesday of the month, right, is our regular board meeting.
Second Tuesday
of the month. So the second Tuesday of the month is the board So we would have to do the facilities and finance depending on, and what I'm talking about structure, okay, we have the second Tuesday of the month would be the board meeting. The facilities would be the week before on that Thursday or Wednesday, depending whatever we have in stone. Then if we're gonna have another special committee meeting, it would have to be the fourth Tuesday of the month. And then if we have to have the personnel committee on the third Thursday or Wednesday, depending. So that way there's some type of structure. So it's always, okay, the Wednesday or Thursday, we're gonna be having the finance and audit. And then the following 2 weeks from that, if we need to have a meeting, or we could try to combine it together on that same night, but it might be lengthy. So it would be 2 weeks. So that way the structure is like the second Tuesday and the fourth Tuesday. The second is for the regular board meeting, and the fourth is for a possible special board meeting if needed. And then the mine committee would be on the Wednesday or Thursday, whatever we want to set, whatever is better, and depending if everybody's able to attend. And then we could do the third Wednesday or Thursday. That way there's some consistency and everybody knows when the meetings are. So that way we could try to have some consistency and structure on that.
All right, anybody else? The only issue I see with that is to set the special board meetings. Special board meetings, usually we try and take up at different times depending on whether we've either had the committee meeting before, or were we waiting on some information or some issues that we know we're going to handle, that it could be either the week after the regularly scheduled monthly board meeting or 2 weeks after. So I don't know that that the special board meeting we should set on a rigid pace like the fourth Tuesday of the month. I think that would be, I think we're going to find that we're going to end up moving that
mm-hmm. I agree
around
completely.
Quite a bit.
That the special, that's why it's special.
Yeah.
Because it's not set in stone.
I think it's just special. As needed. I mean, usually some issues come up that we need to, discuss those or take up for administration something the very next week or within days because of the urgency of some of these issues. So I don't know about the special board meeting. The finance and committee, the finance and audit, I think obviously we've tried to have on a regular basis, and that I think works to have it the week before the regular monthly board meeting. So I think that's clearly in line to that we could set that. The other committees, we used to have a lot of need for personnel issues, and it's great that we haven't had a need for something like that. The only other one that I think we need to probably, and that's on the curriculum, and I think probably in a curriculum we ought to have maybe during the year, we probably ought to have one or two committee meetings on curriculum. And maybe another one during the summer. I don't know that we need curriculum meetings every month. I think those as issues
every
come up,
month?
Maybe every other month might be better.
I would try to minimize special board meetings and just try to have where we have. But I was trying to have something where it's consistent if we know. But I think on mine, I wouldn't need a special board meeting because the regular board meeting is coming up the week before. So I think if we would need a special board meeting, it would have to be after the personnel committee. And then that way we could try to kill two birds with one stone. And usually if there's personnel issues like we used to do back in the days, like it would go through the personnel committee and then it could be recommended and then we could have a special board meeting after to approve if there was principles or stuff like that, as well as anything else. We try to minimize it on that second where we could try to do two. I'm just saying where there's some type of structure, if we need a special board meeting, if there's an emergency, then we could do that. But if not, let's try to just have three meetings a month and that's it. or three nights where we meet. I mean, we could have two meetings, one committee and then one special board, but let's try to minimize the amount of time we need.
Okay. Any other comments from the board?
Just on that, and on the other thing, the CBAC, the thing that concerns me is it was already presented to the community that we were going to have it, and so there's going to be miscommunication out there. And I sort of agree, and I've gotten to more agree with what Ms. Searles is saying. I mean, they have to hold us accountable. The community has to, but that's an accountability thing because it's already been presented out there that we were going to have one. So if we don't have one.
But don't you think that we have one equals or could equal, and I'm just, you know, thinking, and my mouth is going to move now. Maybe as President Coronado said, we don't need a personnel committee meeting every month. We could do that every other month. And that we do give the public exactly what they want every month in our finance facilities. Got a whole bunch of other stuff. So with having that, yeah, an audit. With having that a second time during the month. So that we are a part and that we do give that to the community by saying, yes, we are here. We're going to be here every whatever day, once a month, and we want you here and we want you to be part of this so that the recommendation we're already on board with instead of there being a gap.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that
we
that
fulfill.
My thing is we're not going to. The bond accountability has to sort of be an independent entity. It's already been promised out there, and if we don't do it, I know it's going to be, you know, just a continued, whether it's politics or whether it's trying to sabotage some of the good stuff that we're doing, we're going to use that as a way to be negative on a lot of issues. So I think it needs to be done, but I don't want those enemies on there.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure nobody said, oh, let's pick some enemies and put them on these other committees. That didn't happen. They became as such. And there is always, I mean, to me, there is such a perception of what I said earlier. We've worked hard to make these recommendations. It got to the board and they said, you know, no, they didn't want that. Well, there's communication that's dropped and, you know, lost when you're not working together as a community and a committee of the whole, instead of you've got segmented. I think our community would like to meet with us roundtable meetings and would feel that we had done our duty in, you know, giving them an oversight committee.
And I see where you're coming from, but the way it was presented, I think it has to be done. That's just mine. I don't know what the rest of the board, because if we don't do that, I know it's going to just be continued whether we approve something the next time or we continue to approve or it comes election time or, you know, it's just going to be, you know, something that we don't need, but we're going to have to deal with it. And let's just deal with it appropriately and do some type of committee where they meet quarterly or something. But they have, I mean, all they're going to do is look at what projects we've done and put them on the checklist, and that's it. I mean, they have no other say on that. Mr. Earls, do you get what I'm saying? Or?
I do get what you're saying, but yes, I understand completely. It's the other side of the coin. It just, I feel there's a, you know, as the coin's turning to the other side, there is that area for miscommunication, lack of communication. And I sure don't want to make anybody in this. You know, we're doing so well as a community of the whole, as a board of the community. I hate for there to become any kind of, you know, unnecessary knife stuck in our back or their backs.
I agree with what you're saying, but I think at the same time, I agree that we don't want this committee to be used as a political issue against the district, against the board, or against whatever the board is doing. And we've seen that some of those individuals that were on the the facility stakeholders committee, in fact, use that as a means.
Can I make a clarification on
that? But I don't think that ought to stop us from doing the community, the bond accountability committee. I think there are individuals in our district, and some of those that served on that stakeholders committee that do have a genuine interest in making sure that the district moves forward in a positive way, and not that they are by any means politically motivated to do that. So I think we can find people that can do that. I don't mind people who were against the bond or the TRE that served on the stakeholders committee. It's just that I don't like the people who serve who were out there spreading misinformation. There's a difference. Because everybody has their right politically under First Amendment to say what they can, and including if they're on the stakeholders committee, to say we don't need a bond or we don't need a TRE. That's their right, and I think they have completely, they should have that guarantee without fearing that they're going to be targeted by administration or the board and say, well, now we're not going to let you participate. That's not the point at all. The point of it is that some of those people were not just campaigning against the bond and the TRE, they were out there spreading lies, which is a very big difference. And so I think we ought to commit to the community to do that. I think there's a way we can do this right. And I think each board member should probably designate a person they would like to serve on the committee. We can let administration pick another 3-4 people or 5 people, whatever they want to do, or from the campuses, however administration would like to do that, that they can come. And I think, really, if you come down to it, a lot of the people that are going to want to see is their main interest. The biggest part of our bond was, in a nutshell, the biggest, probably 75% of it was the PK through 8 school, which when we start, I'm sure that we'll be inviting them to show up at the meetings. We'll have a lot more regular meetings of the facilities and finance committee, like we did at the high school, to make sure that we keep oversight of that building project. And the other part that makes up the giant part of this is really the wastewater project, the gyms at the middle schools. Well, that probably makes up 75% or more of the projects. Is that right? That's really a huge part of it. So a lot of those are probably not, I'm not going to say lesser issues that we don't want input from the community bond accountability committee, but those are pretty well, very, very, very few decisions to make on mm-hmm. what type of air conditioning we're going to have to replace us with. I mean, I think those are issues that are going to work out themselves through the bid process. But the PK through 8, the building of the gymnasium, the band room, the design of it, I think the public probably should be mm-hmm. informed about that and how we're going to spend that money. So I really think we ought to do this, and I agree with Mondo. It doesn't have to be, that right now there'd probably be less of a need for them to meet until the big project probably gets underway. But there's no reason why we can't dish out information to them as to what we're doing. And they can come to us and present their, you can give them an outlet every month or every other month at the Facilities and Finance Committee to tell us their input, period. And it's clearly only input, because ultimately the decision on how the oversight of those expenditures and how those are made are ultimately up to us. So,
Mr. Chair, if we were to accept applications, and then Dr. Murphy, if you were to provide those applications to us on a Friday packet, each Friday they come in, and if there's objections, then we could discuss that, or anyone could discuss that with Dr. Murphy, and then we could handle it that way. And they could just meet quarterly.
Yeah, I have a feeling, though, that once the PK through 8 school gets underway, they're going to want, you know, and it's up to them, of course. We can't control how they want to meet.
Do you think that would be a wholly different committee? That would be more of a planning, and I know Lily and Carmen, when we built the new CE.
Oh, the
they were just, you know, hands-on and very much parents, you know, different makeup.
No, we want to do that, and I think we can go back to the roundtable meetings we used to have at the committee meetings, like at the facilities meeting that we used to have, where we would get input from the public mm-hmm. and the community to come in. That, I agree, is we need to open that up anyways.
I think they would be more than welcome to attend any of our facilities finance, like the public is, and we'll still have that. But we just need to create a committee where the perception or the miscommunication isn't there that we didn't have it. And you could go on for why we didn't have it, and people could say that. But where they would just meet quarterly and see where we are on the timeline of the project, and if we're within budget. And that's our main goal. Have we looked at completing the project, and were we in budget? That's the main thing. That should be the only thing the committee should look at.
All right, any other comments from the board?
Ms. Rose?
Well, so then would this become a special committee of the board? And if so, here is its membership on page 7, which would be a chair, 2 board members, the superintendent, or one administrator. And tells exactly when the meeting shall be, how the minutes shall be kept and distributed. Do we just then call for a special committee? And the composition is as follows.
This is an advisory committee for oversight, so it wouldn't be like one of our regular standing committees that we would have board members on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be just the public who would like to serve as, and obviously the superintendent will serve on that committee as an ex officio member. But I don't think that we need to have board members on the committee itself.
Well, I'm just reading what our policy mm-hmm. calls for.
What about having a board member too if they wanted to sit on there, so that way there is no miscommunication?
Or there's the other side too also. This CBAC under regulations, which is not policy,
well, the CBAC
reads totally different.
Yeah, the CBAC is not a standing committee.
No.
So we don't have to have board members.
And it's not. No, we don't. That's what I was saying. This is a totally different
right.
set of rules and regulations instead of policy. So I guess we just have to decide what it'll be in.
Mm-hmm.
Or will it follow neither of these, and we'll make it totally different?
We could just do the CBAC and revise it.
We can revise the regulations on the on our policy.
This is an administrative reg, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So, if anybody wants to look at revising it, then
why don't we do that?
Give it to the minister, or bring it back to policy.
Yeah, let's bring it back to policy. Provide your recommendations on how you think the committee should be structured. Let's ask the superintendent to bring us back names of applicants that want to serve. The board can all will reserve. We can do that. The board can reserve its right to object to any of the members of the committee that are suggested, and the board can also name one person from each board member to serve on the committee. And that the committee not be more than 14.
That's
basically
what this
regulation
what this
is. But there's a few differences that I think we're talking about
okay.
that are not in there. Is that Dr. Murphy?
Okay. Then if he can send us something in the Friday packet, and then if anybody wants to revisit it, just call. Now we can start accepting applications.
Well, I think we need to get the process straight before we actually select the committee.
This is very specific.
Yeah.
This
so I think
regulation.
We need to let's focus on getting the process that we're going to follow. Let's review the regulation, submit your requested procedures. My suggestion, obviously, is that the board, we can add something in the regulation that the board reserves the right to object to any member that is proposed on the committee. The board, this is a board of trustees committee, so the board ultimately can have a final say, so who's in there. But we can ask administration to bring us the names of applicants, and then the board can either, from that list, we can appoint the committee, and we can even add our own if we like.
Can I change the instead of community, put Canutillo? Bond Accountability Committee?
That's fine. We can call it the Decision Canutillo 2010 Bond Committee, so that there's clear understanding that's why that committee exists.
Right? I like Canutillo best, though.
Okay.
And I just personally don't, you know, I don't like want somebody from El Paso on our Bond Accountability Committee. I think
we'll figure that out
as it goes along.
Well, there are some people in El Paso that do belong in the district, though.
El Paso ISD?
No. No, there are some people in the district that are in El Paso.
Oh, yes.
So?
I just meant ISD.
Okay, there we go. That's better.
President, through the chair.
Doc.
Several comments. First of all, thank you, Ms. Searles, for bringing this topic up and for the board discussing it. First of all, I just want to clarify, there were really three people, and I won't use any names, but there were three people that were very vocal in opposition. Only one of them served on the Facilities Committee. The other two served on the 2 years ago previous Budget Stakeholders Committee, which was all about cutting positions, cutting budgets, and that's where they were. They didn't serve on the Facilities, so there really was only one person from the Facilities that dealt with the DC 2011 issue that came out in pretty negative. I really feel both of the committees were very successful. The first one was, as Ms. Searle said, a superintendent's committee. It didn't have, it wasn't created by the board. The second one, though, was a board committee. You guys did approve the membership and oversaw it from that angle. It sounds like what you're asking me to do, and I just want to recap, CV regulation, construction process, community bond accountability committee. You want us to, as an administration, rewrite this based on the information that we have tonight and come back to you with a revision of CV regulation, but holding to the basic concepts of it, not a radical change, just an updating. As far as the membership, I just want you to know that we already have in our office nomination lists, people have sent me, I got one this weekend. You guys have sent me names. Board members have sent me names. People have off the street have sent me emails or contacted me. I was at a basketball game Thursday and somebody came up and offered to serve on it. So I already have probably 20 names. And my thought was one of two ways, and maybe I just need some direction. I can just bring it all to you and you guys can look at it, maybe choose from it, and then maybe pick some other people to supplement it. Or I could try, I could say, well, what about this? And bring it to you. You know, whatever your pleasure is, I guess the simple thing would be just to bring in the list of nominations that are included in the next Friday packet and go from there.
Mr. Chair, can I?
Mr. Rodriguez.
That was going to be the Canutillo Bond Accountability instead of the community.
All right, that would be part of the update.
Yeah, the other thing, I would like to see a deadline on applications, and I would like to see on the regulation an application. And probably a little stating, you know, I'm going to be, how do you say it, a legal terminology on how you would be objective and making sure that, you know, sort of what the goal is to make sure that the community bond projects are done within budget or whatever it is in a timely manner. Something where they sort of sign off to that saying, I'm going to be objective and really understand what their job duty is as a CBAC member, and that they have to apply for it. not just, you know, if you say, hey, I want to be in it, well, you need to make sure you apply, and we could publicize that and then do that as a part of the regulation, a little application.
Through the chair. Tom? Although that's a great idea, we can do that, although going back to your point about we promised the voter and, you know, you don't want to cause any more confusion, you might just want to look at the list that I have, and you very well, all of you very well might find very suitable people off of the current list and without having to go further.
But I would want that in a, so that way all of them have to apply, you know. It's not just one person say, oh, well, I need this person to apply. You know, I don't know.
You so have you want to like put it out there on the Facebook page if you want to be on the committee.
You have to apply it, you know, even in the times or whatever. But you have to apply. You have to submit your application, and probably by the end of, like, August 31st or whatever, wherever y'all think is a good timeline, we would have this read by the first meeting of August.
Yeah.
Mr.
Rachel.
I understand what you're saying, Mando, but at the same time, the people that have already contacted either a board member or something, and we forwarded those emails to the administration office, they need to be notified
to apply.
So that they can apply, and yes. Also let them know due to the interest, because there's a lot of interest in it.
Some
it's already 20,
yeah.
And then there might be more interest so that we can be fair across the board.
Yeah. And I agree. We need to contact these people that have already or have given your word if you have that list and tell them that they need to apply.
And then the notion would be to go ahead though and broadcast that we're accepting applications with a deadline. Make sure there's a disclaimer on there. Steve can help me write it a little bit about positive advocacy and neutrality. And then. And get it out there, and then by August 31st,
no, whatever.
Right.
Just let them know what their job is.
Alright, we certainly, if that's the...
But you'll bring back the regulation changes to us before moving forward.
The first
forward.
August board
yeah.
meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. Unless we have a special board meeting. Not
yes.
for it, but...
But back to my original, really what my real concern was, and this just played into it, is that I really would like to see us begin to, you know, renew our board committees and begin to have set dates, truly, you know, come to them, disseminate our information, get our answers, our questions, our everything done, so that when we meet at our regular board meeting, we're not here till midnight, because that's not efficient. And if we want to be an honor board, I can promise you that's going to be a major mark against us.
Can we just have some type of discussion? What would we like Wednesday or Thursday? So there's some consistency with the committee meetings, and then.
If I may, I believe that we started looking at Wednesday and then changed it over to Thursday because of finance. They were having
right.
a problem. Mm-hmm. Generating the reports, the warrant list, and financials. I'm fine with Thursday.
I'm fine with Thursday.
And we can just make it.
Are you okay with your committee? Have you been on Thursday?
I would prefer Thursday, Ms. Lori.
I'm easy.
Fine with me.
Yeah.
So then what we'll do is Thursday, the Thursday before the regular board meeting is a facilities, finance, and audit, and then maybe the Thursday after would be. Unless the chair says they don't
want to. My suggestion is the two chairs of the committees work it out. If we can have them both on the same night, if it's not going to take us, you know, if it's the items on each one of those agenda for the committee meeting is not large, then there's no reason why we can't. And we've had them in the past where we've had two different committee meetings back to back. Just depends what we're there to discuss.
Either
so I would leave it up to the chairs of each of the committees to decide if you want to have them the same night, or we have them a Wednesday and then on a Thursday.
Well, I guess we're in agreement on Thursday. What it would be is...
Well, for yours.
No, and hers too.
Okay.
So it would be the Thursday before the meeting, and if we needed another Thursday, it would be Thursday after the meeting, after the regular board meeting.
With the main thought that we're not just meeting to meet and talk about, you know, shoot, oh yeah, you know, we're here, let's talk about the lights. We want to talk about our agenda.
Yeah.
And what's coming up on the agenda. And so it's going to be very specific that administration has to keep us apprised of what that agenda is going to look like. And if we meet the week before the agenda for the finance facilities, we get all that out of the way. If possibly what you said, curriculum personnel could meet the fourth Thursday of the month, then by... at that point, already an agenda is being generated, things are being come up with, and if there isn't need for personnel and curriculum, we can just add, you know, change and put agenda items, agenda update. I'm sure Steve will have some good wording.
So it would be a Thursday. The Thursday would be before the regular board meeting, and we would have another Thursday, which hopefully is the fourth, depending on, because of the calendar, the way it lands. It would be the personnel policy, and if she didn't have much to do on that week, then she could probably put it on mine. So it's on those two Thursdays.
Right.
So whenever my meeting is always the first Thursday, make sure the agenda, and then the two Thursdays before that, which is
no,
the ones before.
One Thursday before yours.
Yeah, two Thursdays before the main board meeting, one Thursday before my board meeting. Will you make sure you call this one's office?
We also have to get confused now.
2 weeks prior to 2 weeks prior to the board meeting, we're not going to have the agenda.
Right.
No, but if we're looking at something,
I mean, we might have some like chunks, but we're not going to.
You'll have some footprints.
Here.
You'll have some thoughts, and
2 weeks prior.
I would think that you've got to have something, and we should have a board calendar too. You know, we're looking at. Evaluating the superintendent. We're looking at setting goals. We're looking at, I don't know what we're looking at. Yeah, shoot. You know, this just the standard.
Just the large ticket items.
Yeah, and small ticket that you're thinking of, you know.
Possible.
Yeah,
And if it's something small, we can obviously take care of it on the same night as the facilities. If it's something large, like we're going to go over the AEIS report or something like that, obviously we want to do it on a Thursday by itself. Or one of the big reports from curriculum or there's a personnel issue coming up. Obviously we don't want to put them both together. But I think we should try and have them on the same night if the items are not going to be lengthy.
We're not going to go over the 9 o'clock.
Right. Is that...
That makes a lot of sense.
Is that agreeable with everybody?
Yeah, it's a good start. And if we need to massage it a little, we can do as such. But I think it's, Patsy put it well, wear and tear is not good for anybody.
All right.
So just to clarify my part, on the August regular board meeting, we will have an agenda item, KNUTO Bond Accountability Committee CB regulation update. Bring that CV regulation in for you to look at. We'll give it a try.
Right.
And maybe give a Friday packet.
Friday packet prior.
Progress.
And then also I'll give you the nominees that I already have, the 20 or so. I'll work with Steve on creating an application that has a disclaimer of advocacy and neutrality. We'll bring that all back to you at the August 14th.
And that we will have the Wednesday before the meeting, we'll begin our process of having, Thursday, I'm sorry, our facilities meeting and work from there.
I think we should try and have both committee meetings that Thursday unless there's going to be a lengthy items on
Thursday before the board meeting or two Thursdays before?
No, the one Thursday before. If they're going to be lengthy, any one of them we think is going to be lengthy, then we will
have the two.
Right. Two different days. Okay. Okay. And then, I mean, it's not going to be set in stone, but I think what Ms. Searles is trying to get is whatever we can, and we don't have to put everything on the agenda that relates to personnel or whatever on the committee. It's just those items that are going to be lengthy that we ought to discuss, presentations, stuff like that that we can get out, and then just put them up for decision the week after. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The bottom line, the purpose and the mission is to streamline our regular board meetings so that we can get in here, do business, and be out of here by a reasonable hour.
Now, some of those guys, and there's not going to be a lot of them, but on some of those, we're not really going to be able to take care of at the committee because some of those are like required hearings that mm-hmm. we're going to have. So those obviously are different. Okay. Like the presentations where we're going to have hearings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. We can take care of the big, large presentations.
I think it would help administration in streamlining what they need to bring to us and know that, if we can't do it at the regular board meeting, then an unforeseen emergency, then they know they have the end of the
month. Right.
Instead of calling a board meeting every week, which.
All right. Now, I would like the board then to submit their either changes, deletions, or additions to the CB regulation for the Gunnerthiel Bond Accountability Committee. If you want any modifications to it, you want to give your input, submit them to Dr. Murphy by Friday. Friday, okay? Thursday. You guys are leaving.
Can you send out the revised?
Yeah, revise it.
As soon as you finish CV, we'll send out a draft.
Yeah.
Okay. Send us a draft, then we'll send our for the following week, the board will then send their additions or modifications. Okay. Right.
So will we be having one of these double committee meetings this month?
Only if there's a need for the other committee meeting.
August 4th is the schedule. Next, the Thursday prior to the August board meeting. And that is which one?
That's the finance audit facilities. So do we want to do both?
So
we need
maybe a personnel update?
And a personnel update, but not your full committee.
We're having a committee meeting on
the scholarship report.
Do we need a personnel update? Yeah. No, this is
that
sure. Do you want a personnel update?
For... Well, we're going to have you're going to have a committee meeting this week.
Yeah,
right?
We're going to meet.
I know, but
it's up to you.
Can we have
just want to meet? We just want to see.
Yeah.
Can we have an update on the?
Why don't you get with your committee members and administration and see what items are being proposed for the August meeting, and then decide if there's any lengthy presentations you'd rather have discussed.
But our July meeting is next week.
No, I'm talking for the August meeting, not for
okay.
this. I mean.
We have a meeting next
week. No,
the 26th is the workshop, the board superintendent goals workshop.
Take that back. I'm thinking the September meeting, unless there's some item.
I'm sorry?
We're going to have a facilities and finance committee meeting, period, August 4th.
4th.
Right.
4th.
Right. If Letty sees a need for another committee meeting, because we're having one of hers this week, if she sees a need for to have on some items that may be lengthy in discussion for the August monthly board meeting, then she can request that.
Okay, if curriculum and personnel stay, I need to also let me know because I didn't know.
And also, if you begin to see, every September board meeting, we have all of this to talk about. It's just the standard stuff. Maybe we need to take this much of it and move it to a Thursday meeting or discuss it then, move it through the ranks at that. You know, that just what you know is going to happen. It's the beginning of school. There's going to be X amount of standard reports. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. Anything further from the board on this? All right. Thank you, Ms. Searles. Next agenda item.
Thank you, the board.
So.
Item 4, 2010-11, Bond Super Board Superintendent's Report. Dr. Murphy.
Well, President Coronado, board members, it's with great pleasure that I'm able to report for you the July 2011 summary of the board and superintendent goals that were set on August 10th of 2010. Prior, of course, to Patsy and Ms. Searles being on the board, but in the full board going through it and approving it in August of 2010. And those were, you know, I had gotten here in late February and just kind of dog paddled during the spring semester, was very heavily involved in the Budget Stakeholders Committee. And it was finally in the summertime after the first round of tax and actually the end of the Budget Stakeholders Committee that we sat down and we started setting goals for this school year. And we set four overarching goals between the board and the superintendent. And I think it's really interesting that you're going to see this entire presentation and notice that the bond and the TRE isn't mentioned at all. And we did we accomplished our goals in a very stellar manner and passed the bond and the TRE on top of it. So I'll go through this as efficiently as I can. And of course, I have my captain here who helped me a great deal in all of this, and I really want to hand it to them. Diana, also welcome to the team. Mr. Fry is here. You'll remember we had the senior class counselor here last week when we were going to do this. Mr. Fry is actually on vacation today, so we really appreciate him giving up some of his time. And Ms. Searles, like your question about the GOES Center, he certainly can jump in. And Mr. Fry, when we get to the senior statistics, if you can help me with that. Our four overarching goals are down here. We had a tax goal, AEIS accountability goal. We had a college readiness goal, a community goal, and a fiscal solvency goal. And a lot of times school boards don't set specific fiscal goals that are like part of the three main things of the district, but because of the Budget Stakeholders Committee and the issues that we were facing, it was that prominent and we made it one of our four goals. We're now ready to give this presentation, and an important little caveat was what the board agreed on back in August, that each goal would need to meet 90% to be considered successful. That was kind of the metric that we set, and I'm proud to say that we met well over 90% on three of the four overarching goals, and only one that was a little bit problematic, and we'll talk about that. In fact, it's the first goal. Our very first goal is the tax AEIS goal, and I'm proud to say, really starting off, that our number one goal was to become recognized, and we met that goal. We have every indication from the preliminary data that KUTO ISD in 2011-12, and then again in 2012-13, will be a recognized school district. And that's goal met, and we're very proud of that, and that was our number one goal. It was even more important to the district than the TRE and the bond. And we met that goal. And very proud, and it's going to be the first time in recent memory that KUTO ISD is a recognized district. And of course, as we all know, it'll stay for 2 years. The second goal that we had was we wanted to repeat what we had last year, and that was 7 recognized and or exemplary campuses. Unfortunately, we only have 5 instead of 7, and this was due mainly to the TPM issue. The Texas projection measure has been in force 2 or 3 years from TEA, which gives credit for kids who maybe don't pass the tax test, but they show a lot of growth. I actually was hosting a party at my house on Saturday, and I was talking to a mother of a child who'd only been in the country 1.5 years. And she was telling me that 1.5 years ago, the kid got a 20 on the tax test, but this year he got a 60. And I was talking to her about TPM, that earned TPM, that kid would get credit. He failed, he didn't get a 70, but he had a 40-point rise. And TPM was a vehicle that TEA had that gave kids credit for that 40-point rise, even though they might not have passed. And schools got credit for advancing students, even if they didn't fully pass. Unfortunately, on Good Friday, 1.5 weeks prior to the tax test, literally on Good Friday, the entire school, state of Texas, received an email from the commissioner, which did away with TPM. without any warning. The schools and the school districts and the teachers had all been preparing with the understanding that TPM would be in existence. And on Good Friday, a week and a half before the April exam, it was taken away. And very, very concerning. And that is what knocked us from the 7 down to the 5. Completion rate. Our goal was to hit 80%, which was a lofty goal, because we were only like at 77%, 3% rise in completion rate, and we hit 85.1. We just knocked the socks off the completion rate. Those of you that participated in the dropout recovery day, going back and finding those fourth-year seniors that had dropped out, bringing them back to the fifth, that really aided in that 85.1%. So goal met on that. Our tax actual scores, we met the goal in math. We needed an 80. We hit an 83. We had a five-point gain. Science, we did have a four-point gain in science. We went from 75 to 79, so we're proud of that. But we did miss the goal by 1 point. We really do feel that if TPM would be there, we certainly would have gotten that 1 point. Social studies, we met the goal. We wanted to get to 94, and we got to 95 with a two-point gain. English language arts, we wanted a 90. We only got to 87, but even with the drop of TPM, it still was a one-point gain. Last year, we had scored 86. Writing was the only score where we dropped a point, but then again, we dropped from 96 to 93, so we're still at an exemplary level there. And again, this red, the black box about TPM going away, these scores would have been much higher had TPM stayed. And it is the one black mark on the goals. As far as our college readiness goals, the second overarching goal, we were just about perfect. Mr. Fry is here and he can speak to it. 100% of all seniors took either the ACT, SAT, or Accuplacer. 98% applied to college, with the 2% being largely special ed or some other extenuating circumstance that precluded them from doing that. We wanted to see a 20% increase in scholarship money, and we went from $4.8 million to $5.9 million. Just killed it. That's the highest scholarship amount ever in the history of Canyatillo High School. And financial aid, and you'll remember Mr. Fry talked about this in his senior report, we wanted 100% to fill out FAFSA. We got to 79%. And I really want to hand to the counseling squad, because at the beginning of May, that number was only like at 45 to 50%, and they were able to get it pretty much up to 80. And even though that isn't perfect to 100, it is the highest rate in CHS history by far. And so we certainly did meet our goal regarding these items. Furthermore, with college readiness, we are in our second year of transcript audits, which has become a standard procedure where every fall we take a look at all the transcripts and find out where the weaknesses are, find credits that need to be recovered, find absence issues, and then we go and work on that. The TLC laboratory earned a total of 1,143 credits this year. Certainly fantastic, aiding in our completion rate, aiding in our graduation rate. The GO Center. Jim, can you speak for just a minute a little bit about the GO Center? Talk to us just briefly about how it's set up now versus how you think it's going to look next year.
Well, The fact is that we've got the physical form, we've got the computers, we've got the wiring, and what we've used it for all throughout the year is college readiness activities. We pulled classes down, the counselors have done their presentation about graduation, about college readiness. We've had a number of activities in there ongoing, at least monthly. The primary issue is that we don't have it staffed so that we could bring students down into that room to do individual work, also to host Accuplacer testing in there, which is my goal for having a testing and college readiness person, and to do those things. So we're about halfway to where I want to be as far as the activities. I want to have lunchtime presentations with people from different careers to talk about career readiness and what it takes to be a professional in different areas, attorneys and doctors and whatever areas. So we had huge gains despite the fact that that missing person that really could shepherd our kids as first generation college students. They take a lot of individual attention to get them through some of these things that they've just never seen before, and their family members.
Thank you, Mr.
But
Mark.
That's the position that was approved, and my goal will be that they will spearhead making sure that we are at 100% in all of those areas, and also we work closely with the counselors in order ensuring that not only our seniors are taken care of, but we're working with our juniors and our sophomores.
And the position is going to be reviewed by the board committee on Thursday night. That's correct. So, thank you. All three of these goals were met with a stellar fashion. One of my favorite things to do in the Ghost Center when I would go in there is they had charts of every senior and where they were on scholarship applications, college applications, FAFSA fill out, and had they taken the SAT, ACT. They charted every senior in the entire class, and kids could go in there and they could see where they were in relation to the rest of their class. I think it was very powerful. And now Northwest Early College has already copied it. They completed theirs last week in a similar fashion. Finishing up with the college readiness, our 17 non-tax completers from last year that landed us on the front page of the paper last summer. Two of the 17 passed the tax test in the summer. The other 15, every single one of them, re-enrolled in the 2010-11 school year. Not everyone remained throughout the entire year. These were fifth-year kids who had not graduated, who had not passed tax, but we were able to at least get them up in a very concerted effort on the part of the board. You guys helped a great deal, and get them re-enrolled in school. Truancy prevention, Sergio, you've mentioned this quite often. We've done a much better job, especially with Mohammed Adave, his new assistant principal, with upgrading our truancy prevention and our relationship with the Justice of the Peace Court. We look forward tonight to bringing you assistant principal recommendation that I think will help us upgrade this service even more regarding truancy and attendance issues. And of course, we participated fully in the statewide anti-dropout day. The mayor was here, some other dignitaries were with us, of course, and we went out and we got, I think this is important, well, look at this, over 60 students were visited on that Saturday. Of the 60 that were visited, 34 re-enrolled in Canyon-TO ISD. 11 of those 34 stayed all year, but all 34 re-enrolled, and then we tried to keep them as long as we could along the lines. So, if we would not have gone out that day, none of those 34, at least a very small number, would have re-enrolled in high school. So we really appreciate that. I'm sure they do too. Career and technology education, the smooth transition of last year at this time, we were talking ad nauseum about the culinary arts program and moving it over here. And Ernesto was working nights and weekends with his team to get the test kitchen ready. We did that in a smooth transition. I think it worked really well. We look forward to them coming back for a second year this year, and we're looking to upgrade our food services to serve the building and the community even more so this year. On the CTE, we did finally, I think in February, we did present to you a five-year plan that we are busy working on implementation. We did give CTE a new upgraded office. We have brought a new CTE program to the high school for this year. That's the law enforcement strand. And also, and Jim, maybe you could mention, back me up on this, when we went to the 10-period block, there was actually a concern that it would hurt CTE. In fact, it actually helped CTE due to enrollment. Can you talk to that?
Well, the number, obviously, of courses that kids need to have with 10 periods, we just saw a huge increase in the need for elective courses, and so CTE has really helped us. Kids are being able to experience more of the CTE courses, but then they're beginning to really go with their four-year plan. So it's helped tremendously.
In fine arts, I think we've done a great job over the last 12 months with the School of Music.
A year ago, we got them increased funding. They had gone a couple years without getting a big check from us, and last year we did. We gave them $90,000 to buy music and to repair instruments. This year, this summer, you guys generously are giving a lot more money. They got their uniforms. They'll move forward. For the first time in over 15 years, they marched in the Sun Bowl Parade. For the first time, we got our dance team participating in the Junior League Winter Fest. What's that thing called down at
Christmas Fair.
The Christmas Fair? We participated in that, and it was really great because Representative Reyes happened to be there at the exact same time that the KNUTO dancers were dancing, and we had a big crowd. It was really great. So I think we've done a good job. Some of the other things we've done is in May we had that Arts in the Hearts art symposium at the high school, where we had visual, media, dance, theater, and music, a full day of that. And thank you, board members, who came out to see that. We took the kids to the opera. We did that in an expanded fashion this year to the students in Opera Day. And then one of the coolest things is, of course, we started our BEST program, our Business Education Success Team, and we donated student-created artwork to each of the corporations, Wells Fargo, ADP, ArcelorMittal. All of the 9 corporations received beautiful framed KNUTO artwork with large signs on them saying this is from KNUTO ISD, and we appreciate the BEST partnership. And those are hanging in the corporate headquarters now, at least the local headquarters of all 9 of those corporations. So as individuals walk in the door there, they see KNUTO ISD BEST partner and a nice piece of artwork. So we're real happy about that. Any questions so far? Appreciate you humoring me and giving me the time.
I have a couple of questions. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Just real quick on the 2 of the 17 that passed the tax during the summer, we had 15 re-enrolled. How many of those took the test again, and how many of them passed?
I don't know about that, but I can get it.
Okay. That's one question. The other question, when are we looking at doing the dropout recovery for this year? Are we looking at doing it again?
Yeah, it's a national day, or no, statewide dropout day, and I don't know the date. Normally it's in September, and I would be thrilled if we could recreate what we did last year and go back out and hit it again. Hopefully we won't have as many kids to visit this year as we did last year.
I think that's it for right now.
We have 6 curriculum initiatives. Summer curriculum writing, we've done 2 summers of that, and we're going to have a report at the committee meeting. Really successful. We appreciate your support there. A lot of hubbub when I first came into the district about curriculum. C-scope, good, bad, what else are we doing? I think we've really gone a long way in that argument. I think we don't have C-scope is not the curriculum. It is a KNUTO ISD standards-based curriculum written by our teachers that utilizes portions of C-scope. So it's a different way to look at it, and I think the teachers have really bought into at least the idea that they have created it. Each summer we've had 130, 140 teachers up working on it, and you'll get a report on that on Thursday. Professional learning communities, I'm very proud of the fact that we have brought the notion of PLCs to the district, where teachers, the Algebra 1 team, the 4th grade team, come together once a week and talk about student progress and what they need to have students advance. We certainly have increased the walkthroughs, the PLC walkthroughs, as we've gone through. The leadership pairings, similar to the board buddies, each cabinet member, I shouldn't say that, each campus has a leader at the district level who serves as a leadership pairing, similar to the board buddy program. Our protocol observations is something we did in the fall, where we did a massive 40-point check sheet to go into every campus and look at special ed, LEP services, discipline management, math curriculum, PLC effort, and find weaknesses and strengths. And I think that was very successful in the fall. And then, of course, our No Place for Hate, which I think we certainly implemented better than any school district in West Texas as we move forward from there.
Yes. Go ahead, Letty.
Dr. Murphy, on the, going back to the 2010-11 tax, the EIS goals, I know that you have mentioned that you have not put it as a goal, the AYP.
Right. The goal was simply recognized. I don't know if it was an oversight or, but we did not have meet AYP as a specific goal. We didn't. We had get to recognize.
My concern is how are we going to address these needs in the future and those campuses?
Well, I think for sure this year we should have a meet AYP as a goal, and I apologize. I don't know why we didn't have it. You know, the data is not good regarding the district making AYP this year. We have several areas of need, specifically related to the TPM being taken away, which depressed the scores in special ed, depressed the scores in limited English proficiency. We're not exactly sure. We're waiting for, if John Warren is here, you can tell exactly. I think it's July 28th. We're getting a big update in scores from TEA, which will include AYP projections, or at least give us enough information to where we can make a real solid AYP projection. But the feeling is right now that the district is not going to make AYP as in the similar boat as most districts in El Paso are going to miss AYP. If TPM would have remained, we would have been fine. And I'll have an AYP report for you probably in the August board meeting.
Right, because
CPISD
did not use
right.
CPM, and we did.
You made AYP?
No, they used CPM, of course, and we didn't. No, actually, they didn't, and we used CPM.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
Oh, if you would have missed it even if you would have used AYP?
No, which I think I don't
know. Right, but I mean, that's how EPISD would have been.
Because the scores were inflated, huh?
Well, the TPM did have an inflation in it.
Exactly.
So I'm being as transparent as I can. The feeling is that we are going to miss. We're waiting for the July 28th data dump from TEA to get a better look at it. And I certainly will report to the board as soon as I find out. But we very well are in this weird situation where we're TEA recognized, but we miss AYP. I apologize. Yes?
Mr. Chair?
Mando.
What we're held accountable is the AYP on the federal side, the tax or as well as STARS, right?
That's STAR the, coming up coming in 2 years.
And what else are we held accountable also?
For AYP?
Any accountability measures that either the state, the federal government, and I think...
PBMAS?
All of those, if we could get that as part of goals, as well as the finance side. The first
we know. I mean, we're halfway through the cycle on that, but
I'll be presenting again at the end of September.
End of September on that. Yeah, the AYP just hasn't been presented simply because we don't have the AYP data.
But anything we're held accountable, I think what we need to do is also put it in those goals so there's accountability.
Oh, okay. All right. So well, certainly AYP, you're saying PBMAS as well?
Any other accountability first, standards at the state or the federal
okay.
government.
So first, PBMAS, AYP, and tax AEIS.
One note on that, Doc.
Yes,
you know, I'm not necessarily that impressed by the AYP requirements in terms of they don't have any consistency in terms of applying the differences between schools and districts in terms of the requirements. Some schools have a lot more LEP students, we have a lot more NEET students. And those measures are not taken into account by AYP, you know, and they don't have any corresponding financial backing to from the federal government or the state.
That's right.
Period.
And that
so
is
I'm not necessarily. I agree. We need to take a look at it. Their mandates, but both the state and accountability. You know, they need that other requirement, and that's probably something that we ought to take a look at Far West in terms of their, that we need to have an accountability system that's really based on, you know, the different needs of school districts. Not every district's the same. Not every school's the same.
And that's why I
And that is never done. And we're not talking apples to apples. We're talking about accountability ratings between districts who have, you know, for example, let's, you know, I don't want to pick on them, but let's say some of these Dallas school districts who have very, you know, very few needy students. And they meet AYP and they meet all of them, but they don't have these needy students. And there's no measure for the extra resources needed to bring along these students that have these needs that obviously, and most districts here locally are having problems. Duh. The limited English proficiency, the special ed. What is that telling us?
Well, and
one of the big things that glares out. Anybody?
It's one of the reasons I actually appreciated the TPM system. Because like the mother who was at my party on Saturday, my child went from a 20 to a 60, an LEP student, and how happy she was about that. And yet, AYP gives no credit for that gain, even though the schools worked very hard to get that child from the 20 to the 60. Whereas the TPM measure did allow the district to receive benefit and credit for that 20 to 60 gain. And for the commissioner to come in a week and a half, I say a week and a half before the April test, we'd actually already given the first round of the ELA test back in March. It was even after the first round administration had occurred. For him to come in a week and a half before and say, oh, you can't use it, was very disheartening, not only to Canyon Teo, but across the state. The superintendents had argued to Commissioner Scott, hey, it's the last year of TACS. Next year you're going to a new test. If you don't want to use TPM, fine, on STAR and EOC and all that, but let us finish the tax cycle with TPM this last year, especially since the rating's going to hang for 2 years, and let us have it. And we thought we'd convinced them. And then right there on April 12th or whatever that day was, we get that email, and it came in an email to every superintendent of the state, TPM is gone. You know, not to be politically incorrect, but I wonder if it was politics involved to take that away at that point, because we were all moving forward with it was going to be in existence.
I have a feeling it wasn't the commissioner's decision, Doc.
Well, you said it, not me.
Okay.
One of the things I do
very strong feeling.
One of the things that I do want to point out is when we go to set our goals on July 26th and subsequent after that after that date, we got to be careful about setting numeric goals for STAR. Ms. Fierro is going to talk about this a little bit on Thursday. We have no idea at this point what passing will look like regarding the STAR. She has a blueprint that shows, you know, there's going to be 45 questions and a standard will be 30 right. We're not exactly sure, and they're not sure where it is. So to say we're on STAR reading, we're going to hit 85%. We really are not in any situation to say that at this point. And we're going to have to be really careful on this particular slide about setting numeric goals go forward. And I know EPISD is in the same boat for the numeric goals. And Ms. Fierro, do you want to say anything about that real quick?
Yeah. The state is only going to release raw score data about the time that we get data back now. But they were not going to set the passing standard. So the students will be testing in May, but the passing standard won't even be set till around December of the following year when they're already in the next grade level. So we're not going to have the Student Success Initiative or at least the STAR data being part of that, you know, with grade placement committees, because we, you know, the statisticians and the psychometricians have to figure out, okay, we have all this data, what's going to be passing? And are they going to do like they did from TOS to TACS, where they do SEM1, SEM2, and then panel recommendation, where they kind of ease into raising that passing standard? So they won't even have set it until the fall, when the students are already in the next grade level.
Fall of 2012. So this is a problematic slide for next year.
So even if we say, okay,
you know, we want a certain percentage of our students getting a 60% on START. Well, the state may say 50% is passing. So we have no idea what to set that passing standard at, because they don't know, because they have to look at the data.
Thank you, Ms. Vieira.
That doesn't give me great confidence for the end of course exams to try and improve the situation, does it?
Well, the end of course exam will be a little bit of a different story. They actually are setting the passing standard for end of course in February. And so we'll know in June for those students, because it will be a graduation requirement. They're the first cohort, and it will be 15% of their grade. So for the end of course, the STAR end of course exam high school, we will know.
But we won't know for next month when we set our goals.
Oh, no. And also, they haven't figured out what AYP is going to look like. Because right now, all we're going to have is attendance rate, graduation rate, and 10th grade tax. Because remember, our 10th and 11th graders are still going to be taking tax. But 3 through 8 is taking STAR. We don't know what's passing. So the feds and the state still have to work out what are we going to do with AYP. And you know, the feds aren't loving Texas too much right now. So they're telling us to figure it out. So we'll see.
And again, they're changing everything. Why did they have to change TPM when they did? When they could have very easily just let it roll through this semester and then change it along with everything else.
They don't do that with the NASA program. They decide, you know, shoot the rocket. Let's decide once it's in orbit, see where we're
going.
Or why create a new test as Nickel B is coming to an end?
Right.
As we're having to approach 100% passing.
Well, it's over in what, 14?
Yes.
15? 14?
We could have very easily finished.
That's why I'm telling you that. Never mind.
This is the college readiness overarching goal, which we did meet with high rankings. We have a summary at the end. The next two are much quicker. Our collaborative community goals. One of the things that I really heard as I became superintendent was a need to reach out to our community more and bring them more in. I think we met that in stellar fashion. We over-communicated, I think, even to the community a little bit and involved them in a stellar manner, even winning statewide awards with our budget stakeholders committee. Amongst our teachers, we utilized the PLC, which involved the community. Our PBSI teams met with much more rigor and much more regularity this year across all campuses. Our principals' advisory committees also worked very well, bringing in parents, and then our No Place for Hate. And, you know, when you talk to community members, they can say what they will about Canyon-TO ISD, but I think they can say that over the last year and a half, that they have been an upgrade in communication and involvement with the parent groups across the district. At least that's been the feedback that the captain and myself have received as we go forward from there. The last goal was our fiscal solvency goal, something that was a crisis when I came in February 2010. We did implement well over 90% of the board-approved recommendations for the Budget Stakeholders Committee. We absolutely murdered the goal regarding our fund balance. Our goal was only to increase it by 5%, and we all know that by August we'll have almost doubled, if not doubled, no, almost doubled our fund balance. Our expenditures did not exceed a lot of budgets outside of a 3% variance, and that was watched very carefully. And our pay scales existed even last year within a 7% range of all Region 19 districts. So I'm very proud to say that our fiscal solvency goal was met in a stellar fashion, as was our community goal. Also, we worked very hard on a PIMS clearinghouse process that I had put in there, and that was done really well. All those policies were updated. De minimis, student travel, employee travel, time and effort. Asset management actually was not revised simply because when it was looked at, it was found to be adequate. We didn't have to do anything to it. Records retention, grading policy, student transfers all received large upgrades in their policies. So in review, as we close, unfortunately, due to the TPM mainly, we only met 6 of the 11 goals set by the district in the first one. However, our number one goal was met, and that was to become a recognized district. And we do believe, administration certainly believes, that if CEA would have kept TPM, at least 9 of the 11 would have met, and we would have met our 90%. College readiness, 15 of the 17 goals set by the district were met, and we made historic gains in this area, and it was a goal met on the overarching college readiness. Collaborative community, all four of the district goals were met, 100% compliance, goal met, and fiscal solvency, all six of the goals set by the district were met, 100% compliance rate. And there's the overall summary of how we did. I'm very proud of the team. It certainly involved everyone in the district, the teachers, the paraprofessionals, the front office staffs, the custodians, the maintenance. It was a team effort across the entire organization. Really appreciate cabinet and their leadership, the principals, and of course the board for all the support that we move forward. And I now look forward to coming to you at the end of this month and setting new overarching goals for the district for the 2011-12 school year as we go forward. And we will begin that. We actually started it today in cabinet, and we will continue by meeting with the leadership team on Wednesday and then later in the month with you guys on the 26th. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doc. Questions, comments from the board?
Mr. Chair?
Wendell?
Just real quick on the PIN for clearinghouse that we did, was that the one that all students are supposed to fill out at the beginning of the year? And what was our, because I remember, what, 2-3 years ago, we lost some funding because of it?
Yes.
What was the amount? Is that what the clearinghouse was?
Yes, the clearinghouse was a system where every year students have to take home the federal forms, the free lunch forms. We have to document all that. We have to get them all back from the parents. Unfortunately, especially as the kids get older in the secondary schools, we don't have very good turnaround. And this year what we did was we made each campus come in and meet with Lila Gale and Annette Brigham and clear their PIMS numbers, clear their rosters, clear their enrollment figures, clear their at-risk forms that were turned back in, and it amounted to higher funding. Ms. Aguirre, do you remember the funding difference?
Or the percentage of applications turned in? I think it was like 40 that
It was much higher, I know that.
No, when we lost funding, it was like 40-30% that turned it in. That's when we lost funding, it was like 2 years ago or something.
Along with the figures of the 17 that you wanted to see, we can also bring back the clearinghouse results. I know that it was very positive, and we modeled a lot of what I see. Leti nodding her head. EPISD has a PIMS clearinghouse that we kind of modeled a little bit, and I think it was very successful. And I can bring back those numbers on that. We look forward again to doing it. You know, it's similar to our transcript audit. Looking at across the entire high school, every child, where they stand in relation to graduation, where they stand in relation to the class that they're supposed to be in, and working to help them catch up. We did that with our data, calling each school in and making them justify their numbers, their enrollment numbers, making them justify their at-risk forms, and all of those things. And I think it really added to our program, and I'll bring back those numbers.
And I just wanted to compliment you, Dr. Murphy, and your administration. I know you've been a trailblazer in trying to get all this stuff done, especially not even having the bond and the TRE, with a lot of work that was put in this last year.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you and your staff.
Anybody else? It was a busy year. Very busy year, and I'm glad to see that even though we did meet all of the tax AEIS goals, I think clearly we need to start workshop that we need to take some of these items, these goals that were not met, including the AYP and some of these tax and AEIS goals that were not met, and take a look at those and see how can we refine for our coming up goals and. That way the board can study in what we want to do.
President, I do want to point out that even though they took away TPM, you'll notice that we still gained 5 points in math, 4 points in science, 2 points in social studies, and 1 point in ELA.
you know, if TPM would have been there, that probably would have been a 9-point gain and an 8-point gain.
Right.
But even after they ripped it away from us, we still showed gains in student scores.
No, so, I was happy to see the math and science scores going in that direction, and that it's an appreciable gain. I also didn't want to see a 20-point gain, because there's something wrong when you have that kind of a skew. I'd rather see a steady, consistent increase. I think that shows that the system, that it's a systems issue that's being that is actually taking place, and not some aberrant factor. So I want to see a steady gain. That means that we have something in place that is consistent. Board? Anybody else? Doc, thank you again. Thank you for the work you've done this year in administration. It's been a trying year, but we've been very busy. But I think administration and the board can feel very appreciative of what we've all accomplished this year, especially, and that's really the basis of a lot of things that could have gone wrong. And that, first and foremost, is our financial solvency, our financial issues that we weren't, if we start firing another 30, 50 teachers, that's going to affect everything. Our scores, our curriculum implementation is going to affect quite a bit, our students, first and foremost. And so I think that, at the basis of a strong organization here is to make sure that we have the resources necessary to make sure we accomplish these goals. And I think we're at a point where we now can do some long-term planning, and it's great to be able to do that. So, and thanks for your work on the TRE and the bond. That clearly was, extensive effort by administration to get that done. Board, anybody else? All right, thanks, Doc. Next agenda item.
Item 4B, 2011 bond projects and timelines report. Mr. Romanetis.
Ernesto, if you don't have a PowerPoint, just turn
it. I don't.
Okay, why don't you?
I'll face
it
at an angle.
It's
fine. I'm fine.
There we go. Sliding.
We went ahead and put the number of days that we would take us to
complete process. You don't have it, Mrs. Searles?
I don't see Ms. Searles has that. Here, we can, you can.
I can just share. Don't worry.
We can share.
Thank you.
So basically what I'm here for is just to see if this is going to work for you as far as us trying to be transparent about what we're doing and what we're, who we're using, you know, for the board's sake and really for the taxpayer out there to see what we're doing. And every time we spend the money, we're going to be saying, well, okay, the budget was $12,000, and well, perfect example is the one that is number 14, which we went ahead and did it, and we're able to fix it, and so we realized the full $8,000, so we have a savings of $8,000, and we took care of that internally, you know. So you're going to see, every time we do a project, you're going to see the final cost, and then you're going to see a savings. My goal, obviously, is to have savings in this, so we can have some money left over, because there might be other projects or other needs that the board might see that we would have to have here. So that's what it is. On the other ones, the 2011 projects part two, similarly, that's how it's laid out. We have not, Dr. Murphy and I, have not really sat down to prioritize these, and that's what we'll be doing, and then we'll bring them to the board to see if the board agrees, actually to the committee, to the facilities committee, to see if the committee agrees with it, if they want to make some modifications, changes, how they want us to work with this, okay? Essentially, basically, that's what it is. Are there any questions regarding this, any changes that you might want to make or at this point?
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Very well laid out and very comprehensive.
And one thing that I might say is that at every board meeting and at every facilities meeting, we'll have it. And if there is some progress, you'll notice it. If it's not, it's just going to be there for you. So, and we'll provide a date. So we'll say, okay, I'm for the next Thursday meeting, it'll be there. And if we see some changes, we'll notice that.
I guess the only question I have and what I would like to see is, I don't know if it's called the GAT or whatever.
The chart, the Gantt chart?
Yeah.
Yes, once we figured that we were going to do that with the other projects. And this one, because of the timelines that we have, the short timelines that we have, you know, the chart is going to be kind of going up and down real quickly because we're trying to get all these projects out by the dates as we show, you know, within a short time frame. But once we get that, yeah, we'll attach the Gantt chart. Once the decision is made as to which projects take priority and all that, then we'll put a chart together and we'll attach it to this to the year calendars, so that you'll see it.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else on the board? Comments or questions on the timeline for the projects? I would like to see by whether the funding that we have allotted before we go out for the next bond sale is going to be sufficient or not.
Okay, we'll
and when do it, and maybe Doc, I don't know, or Martha, when
you mentioned that,
when do we propose our next bond sale to be, the second one? Have we next August?
It was July.
July of next year? Okay.
I remember that now. You had mentioned you wanted to know if the project was going to be in part one or part two.
Yeah, exactly. And whether the projects that we are scheduling between now and next August before we get our next money, is that what we have not now, is that enough? Is that sufficient?
We'll provide some report. And I know that Martha's been working on a new schedule also to add to this regarding what your request is.
Okay. But other than that,
part two, we could add that column.
Yeah, we could add the column. Part two. We'll do that.
Of course, all the part one items are going to be the first.
Right. And it looks like it, like we're probably going to be, I see, what, approximately, let's see, 12, 18, 20. Well, that's pretty close. I just want to see how much total we're going to need for the, some of these don't have dates in the back, but of the ones that we have dates on already, we have, for example, you know, $1.5 million for these projects now, right?
Right.
Basically. We have in the follow-up, the AC upgrades and all that, repainting, the minor stuff, all of them total about $10 million, including the AC upgrades.
Right.
But the big ticket items come later, and I want to see when we're wanting to get those started, and particularly the PK through 8, how much money we're going to need between now and next July before we do the next bond set. So I think we're going to be all right, but if those aren't going to be an issue, I'd like to, you know, I think the board would like to go see and move as many projects as we can. And how that priority listing comes up is going to depend on our availability of those funds. So.
And then there's still other things, Mr. Coronado, that the board is going to need to give us some direction on. And that is, I know we currently have a vendor or vendors that are interested in providing helping us out with the energy management system and the air conditioners, and we still need to bring them on board to do a presentation to the board so the board can select which vendor to go with, that type of thing. And then maybe that changes the whole view of what direction we're taking, because
right,
of the savings and what they're recommending to the board.
Right. And I think in terms of the energy efficiencies in the district, energy management and energy efficiencies that we want to implement, I think, I don't know, I guess we can get administration, get with our legal counsel in terms of going out, whether in terms after the presentations, I guess we do the same thing, would be presentations of various of them, do similar to an RFQ, I guess, for them. And I don't know if that needs to be RFQ'd or if it needs to be
RFP.
It's RFP.
Okay.
But they, of course, we'd like to for them to present to you so that you all can make the decision whether you want to go that way or just do a complete bid or, you know, work them separately, because these people are looking at coupling a lot of things like the insulation, the air conditioning, the energy management system, too.
Right.
In order for us, they're going to present to you a savings and a vehicle by which maybe we don't have to use some of the funding in the bonds.
You mean talking about a guaranteed contract savings?
Yes.
Okay. That might be something that could save us quite a bit of money from the bond. Are you all aware of what those are? They're basically performance contract guarantees that you're guaranteed certain amount of savings. We do have to, and with some of them, you put some money up front, some of them you don't. It depends on what the project is. And they guarantee you a certain savings, and then you're going to pay it from your savings to them, certain amounts, and depending on where.
Yeah, and some of them also may include some grant monies that they can go for.
Right.
For our benefit. So it's up to the individual presenter or vendor that comes and presents and see which one offers us a better deal.
Now, where we really can take advantage of those performance guarantees will be on the new school, clearly, because that's going to be something
right
off the bat, that if we implement some of these systems, that we might be able to realize some of those,
That's correct.
So we need to take a look at not just what we're doing in the energy efficiency here, but what energy efficiencies in the new school we're going to be doing. So, all right. Anybody else? Okay.
President, through the chair. Oh, I apologize. Were you going to say something? Oh. So we're going to, this chart is okay. We just need to add one column on part two that deals with the part one or part two.
Right, of the bond.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. And then I guess I'd like to see that so that we'll know what it is that we're targeted to complete between now and next July or August when we get our other funding. That's gonna give us a big indication of our priority schedule. So,
okay.
All right. And I don't want some of these items that we may want to do that might have like a medium priority, we may want to delay if that's going to delay the start or the progression of our PK through 8, because I don't want that to get stopped because of a lack of resources till next August. I mean, I don't think the board wants that.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
We will be, just to let you know, we will be closing on that property in the next week, week and a half.
Anybody else?
Are we going to have a little ceremony? Dance?
I think we ought to have a, once we select the...
party?
Once we select the, all the I guess, contractors for the PK through 8, we can certainly have a groundbreaking ceremony out there.
Absolutely.
We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Hunt has, in the contract, is it? They're paying 50% of three monument signs. Two of them 8x8, and one of them 4x8, or 2 4x8, 1 8x8. Beautiful signs, and we'll be getting going on those as soon as it's feasible after we close, or let the community know that school's coming. And I'll bring you guys designs, and you can see them.
All right. Good. Great. Anybody else?
Designs on the sign?
Yes, on the sign.
And is that our dirt?
Yes, it is our dirt.
Thank you.
All right, anybody else? Okay, thanks, Ernesto. Next agenda item.
Item 5A, consider approval of funding area riprap for Alta American High School and Garcia Elementary School, Mr. Hernandez.
If you allow me, President, on A, if I can speak in A, B, C, D. Yeah, in D.
A through D?
A through E.
All right, with the board with the board's consent, we'll take up those agenda items, Tony. Go ahead.
And then I'll kind of explain what I'm looking at. On A, I do request.
Just real quick. A, B, C, D?
And I'm sorry. A. B, C, D, and E.
Okay.
A through E.
Yeah, which are the ones that I'm presenting.
All right, go ahead and read those.
Those agenda items?
Yes.
Okay, item A is consider approval of funding area riprap for Aldeveta Middle School and Garcia Elementary School. Item B, consider approval of contract for pedestrian path addition at Aldeveta Middle School. Item C, approval of re-roof of weight room at Canutillo Middle School. D, approval of contract for wetland renovation engineering for Bill Childress Elementary School and the CISD Support Services Complex. And item E, approval of sidewalk repair and curb ramp installation for Aldeveta Middle School and Deanna Davenport Elementary School.
All right, Mr. Armendariz.
Now, if I may, I'm going to speak on B and E and state that those were supposed to be for information only. And the reason being is because they are under the $10,000 limit. The numbers came in under the $10,000 limit. So really, and either way, anything that we'll do, I'm going to be bringing it up, whether it's $10,000 or not, or I'm still going to bring it up, because that's part of the transparency that we're going to try to exercise here from now on. So B, if I may, I think the for Alcalete, it is the pedestrian path and the proposal on that is $6,625. And I've got the quote on that. On E, which is the sidewalk repair, sidewalk, yes.
Where's the quote?
I'm sorry?
Where's the quote?
Oh, sorry, I didn't print it out. Now, I'd like to say that for these projects, yes.
Was it just one quote,
no.
Or did you have
No, for these projects, that's where I was going to go, is for these projects, I invited, this was this past Saturday, I had invited Mirador, Heinrich, and depending on the project, and the other one was a concrete guy, a concrete vendor by Sinaloa, who is a concrete. And I got quotes from three of them. I mean, from two of them. One of them did not show up. He didn't show up to Saturday walkthrough. I know that. And so I went with Heinrich, seeming that it was under the, I mean, way under the numbers. What I did is I talked to both of them, and I told them exactly what we were looking for. I took them to the site. In this case, for the path, pedestrian path, I took them to Alderete Middle School, and we went towards the back, the community in the back. We took measurements, made them aware that we have aluminum ramps that you got to do something with because they're a temptation to people. We've already, you know, they're always stealing those. To sell them for aluminum, and they're just sitting out there, I mean, for the metal. And so I figured that we could save some money if we make use of the aluminum ramps there. And so what I told them was that they were going to do the cutout. They're going to include the chain link fence, gate, that is. They're going to do a concrete stoop, what you call a stoop, a sidewalk that as they come in from the community. Then we come in with our aluminum ramp. He's going to do some grading at the back so that the height is met. And then from the grading, from the point of the ramp as it goes down, then we're going to take a sidewalk and take it to the existing concrete apron that's there to at the school. So that's what we're going to do. And right now, when you see the copies, you'll see the length and the amount of lineal feet of concrete.
And both vendors were there at the same time?
They were at separate times. They were together at one of the at number at letter E, but they were not together because they came in at different times.
So, do you have the other bit?
No, not with me. I don't have Mirador. Mirador, I called them up today to see if they would send us the bid, and they didn't send it to us, but I'll be glad to send it to you. I know that they emailed me with the number, and I'll be more than happy.
What did they email you with?
They said their initial number on the.
Which one are we on?
We're on B.
37?
On B.
37 or 38?
47.
47.
Which is the B, which is the pedestrian path. Their number on that one, they were telling me that it was going to be over $8,000. And I told them, okay, go ahead and submit your proposal. And then Heinrich sent theirs today. Because I met them Saturday.
I guess
not Saturday.
My getting that on page 47, we're recommending Heinrich General Contractors, correct?
For the pedestrian path, yes.
Okay. And so the scope of the work is not detailed, right, on this?
The scope of the work is on your...
It was just a walkthrough?
We did a walkthrough, but I gave them a written, the same information that I had put in for the description that I put in for your package. That's what I gave them.
That has no scope of work in it, not that I see.
On his?
It just talks about the cooperative?
Yeah, he didn't, he just gave me the price. He just gave me the, pretty much it's what I requested. But he just, that's how they submit. They all submit it kind of differently.
Did you didn't give him a scope of work, is my question?
Yes, I did. Yes,
okay.
I did.
And when was that?
At the site.
On Saturday?
Uh-huh, on Saturday.
Okay. And so, the recommendation was made on Saturday to go with High Ridge?
No, much later, because I was waiting for their numbers.
Much earlier, wouldn't it?
Yeah. After we had met Saturday, I waited for their numbers. One of them called me right away and told me what the number would be. And then I said, well, I'm going to have to wait for the numbers in order for us for me to make a recommendation.
That this was submitted to us by our Friday packet, which would have been before that.
Yeah.
Isn't that correct?
It was past Saturday. I mean, not this Saturday, but previous Saturday that I met with him.
So it wasn't this Saturday?
No, not this Saturday.
Okay. And so, I guess what I would like to see is the scope of the work on what it...
I'll provide you with that. It's essentially the same thing. It's the same verbiage that I used for your package.
Okay. And so, High Ridge is being recommended, and we just have...
Yeah, it's just a recommendation on that.
Okay, and then...
But again, it's under 10 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm bringing everything in.
That, not if it's aggregate on the other part throughout the year. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, if we're doing the same thing. Yeah. And this one is just for the summer projects that's why I'm making the recommendation.
Okay. The next, or I,
then,
that was all the questions I had on this one.
Okay.
Right.
And then E is the one that I was recommending on the lower, and they still haven't sent me, but they did verbally tell me what the price was, and Miralor is telling me that it's $2,288 per brand, and we have a total of three per brands that we're doing, and I'm waiting for their quote, but I wanted to bring it in just as information.
Which page is that on?
48.
I don't have a booklet like you have, so I don't have that on you. So when you...
How many ramps?
Pages. Sorry?
How many ramps?
The curb ramps, we're doing two at Deanna Davenport, and we're doing one at CES. This is for the drop-off, for the van drop-offs.
All right.
Mr.
Abdenatis,
this is the one you're recommending that we go with Sinaloa?
No, Mirador.
Mirador.
I think I put Mirador. Does it say Mirador?
Yes.
No, it says High Ridge.
Does it?
No, not the sidewalk repairs and curb ramps.
Not page 48?
No, it's 62.
62.
Mr. Armendariz, item E on the board says Deanna Davenport and Alvarete.
Yeah, it says Alvarete, but it's actually... CES. If you look at this project, it's the project.
Do you have to bid for that one?
No. Like I said, Mirador is the one that hasn't dropped it off. I was waiting for them today on the bid.
But they're being recommended?
Yeah, but I'm recommending them since they were under not recommending them, but bringing them for information.
Because they gave you a number verbally?
Because they gave me a number verbally. Yeah.
And it beat the others?
Yes.
The other one
was $4,488 for Davenport, and also the number came in at $2,244 for the curb ramp at Canotillo. And he put Canotillo Middle School here, but it's Canotillo Elementary.
Do you have the other bid then?
I do have them. What I did is I asked for more ramps just so that we could get the number down. And more curb ramps, those are the ones that I asked for.
Did we try to combine these bids to see if we could get a cheaper rate?
I did. As I talked to them, I told them to give me a combined bid. And they broke it down for project. That's what they did.
And so do you have that for project list?
I know I have High Ridges. Like I said, I don't have Miradores. I'm waiting for Miradores to come to me. And as soon as I get it, I can put it in for the board.
And I guess I would like to see all the information first. I guess let's go to the next one and then.
Okay. On the next one, the only one that gave me a quote was Mirador.
Which one are you looking at now?
That would be the first one, which would be A. Alderete. That's at Alderete and at Garcia. The only one that provided, because I asked for options on that.
But on here, it's being recommended High Ridge.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you just said
yes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. High Ridge.
And then what's the other project?
And the other project is, next project would be the weight room. And on the weight room, I know my recommendation was to go, or I'm recommending to go with Garland, who is,
let me see if I can find this. What is the U.S. Community Cooperative?
It's a cooperative, sort of like the Tasman Byboard.
It's through the state?
It's nationwide.
And we could use any cooperative?
That's correct. Any of the minerals.
Just as long as it belongs to a governmental agency?
That's correct.
Now, the difference in this one is that I'm recommending that we go with him because he's worked for this him. When I say him, it's the company, Garland, who's been in business since the 1800s. And they do a lot of work at UTIP, at El Paso ISD, and at, I think it's Horizon. And what they're going to do is they're going to come out and their consulting firm, they're going to come and bid, get us three bids for the roof. In other words, they're going to put the bids together. The reason I'm recommending this is because if we approached it differently, we'd have to go hire a consultant. We'd have to go hire someone to put drawings together to do this roof. And here, what the Garland company does is they do all the drawings and do all the monitoring and do all the picture taking and do all the warranty. They warranty everything.
Are you able to do the specs or the scope of the work?
I could do the specs. That's not a problem. But in the timeline that we have on this summer thing, that's what I was making this. Since this was the only project.
And what about some of the stuff that we have on the last stuff where we could possibly look at that option under the smaller contracts? Mr. Gatman, on the smaller ones, looking at specs, if we're not able to do it in the house, what could we possibly do it? Not an RFP, we already have the RFP out, but on the small contracts we have.
The job order contract?
Yeah.
Yeah, this company, that's what they
do.
We have somebody on retainer already. Can we also use that?
We have our architect.
And would that be cheaper? Which option would
No, I would tell you that it's a little more expensive. Because we have to go and pay them, and then this thing is put out to bid, and then a contractor could actually be bidding, which, you know, a contractor as a regular roofer, and there's a lot of overhead in that, and that's what I was trying to avoid.
What I would like to do is look at both options, seeing what's better and looking at the proposals of those two. And since it's over 100,000, I would like to see a hard bid on that.
Okay. That's what this person is going to do is give us hard bids. They're going
to. But I would like to see the other option to see if there's any savings as well. Okay. Since we do have some.
Go.
That's a minimum of 8 weeks.
Huh?
That's a minimum of 8 weeks to do it.
Well, the good thing is the weight room is Is everybody using the weight room?
Well, right now, the problem we have at the weight room and the reason that we had put it in the summer project is because the deck in the weight room is corroded. And my concern is that it's right over where the air conditioner is. And my concern is that when it rains, it just floods and it falls down.
And it's gonna
I can show you pictures. I've got pictures here.
Just let him do it.
Yeah,
we need to just move forward.
And for the reason of expediting this, that's why I figured that I would get a vendor. I guess we can pass this around. This is the situation we have. And in fact, when we were measuring with a roof care, another contractor that was there, that decided not to get involved because of the decking, he says, with the time frame that you have, he says, I don't want to touch it. The floor was full of water from a rain.
So, Ernesto, what you're saying through the chair? So, what you're saying is that this third party for the roof at CMS would go out to get bids after they get a design.
Yes. They would get us three bids, four bids, whatever the board chooses. But typically, we ask for three. He would put it out to bid. That's what he would do. Put it out to bid, get the three bids, and we come back and we present it to the board and, you know, decide to go with the lowest bid. I'm just using this company as a vehicle in order for me to avoid having to hire an engineer because we have structural decking involved, we have structural joists involved. Instead of bringing in an engineer, the architect, and then roofing consultant, I figured to go with roofing consultant.
All right. And Mr. Gatlin, will that meet our requirements with respect to our bidding?
It would, because they are a member of the U.S. community.
Oh, they're a member of the...
Yeah, that's
okay.
The only reason that I brought them in. Now...
time issue.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, our own bid.
Yeah, we can do our own bid. Like I said, we can do that. That's not a problem, but it's going to... My timelines that I have provided you for the summer is just going to change altogether because of the bidding process, the length. Since he's doing the bid, he doesn't have to meet the criteria that the district has to meet.
He's already approved.
That's the only reason that I'm using. I'm recommending that to go with.
And I'll probably meet with this person as soon as we can. If you approve it tonight, I'll meet with them and we'll go through this and we'll see how this will actually.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion then that we go forward and approve the contract with the High Ridge General Contractors for the installation of the ponding area riprap at Alderete Middle School and Garcia Middle School as presented, and that we approve the contract for the pedestrian path. No, not that one. That's only for information. We approve the re-roof of the weight room at the middle school. The contract of the re-roof of the weight room at the middle school. We also approved the contract for the wetland renovation engineering for Bill Childress and the CISD Support Services Complex.
Second.
And one more.
The other one's for information only.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, and we do have a motion before the board. Agenda items 5A, C, and D. And we have a second further discussion from the board.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Just real quick, I would like to, I'm just going to clearly state my vote on this. Is no. I need more backing than I need the information. You know, I have requested whether it's the scope of the work and as well as what proposals or what bids we also got. So that's just what I'm going to say. I'm uncomfortable with the amount of information that I got.
This is for
wetlands and the...
Wetlands, weight room, riprap.
Mr. Chair, also, Mr. Andres, as I'm looking at it, like, the backup, I'm assuming that this backup that was provided to us, it's not you all that did it, it's Region 19, correct? They had the committee that sat on it and gave you the...
I just included that information to show you that what the process of Region 19 goes through and that they are actually a member of the Region 19 Purchasing Cooperative. I gave that.
I understood that, but when you're giving us pricing in units like this, that's not telling me anything. And I have a problem with it as well. It was confusing to me. I understand why you went that way because of it's the time you want to get it done, but to me, it's not telling me anything because it's priced on units. There's no, what's the area? What is the scope of work? What are we voting on here? So I had a problem with it too.
Mr. Chair, the other thing that I'm looking at this as a project, this would be the debt, I mean, not the debt, so can you tell something else? I've been researching some others. This would be the ceiling of what we're allowed, I mean, what our budget would let us spend on some of these projects. And especially if it's under the 10,000, then we could go under that, but when it's aggregate, it's different. But I'm just a little frustrated, and not just frustrated, I'm uncomfortable on not looking at what I requested, and so.
I'll get you that information. One of the things that I need to point out is that on the Garland, he went ahead and provided us a number of about $118,000 guaranteed to do this. This is before it goes out to bid, so he anticipates it coming down, and it's in writing there. And that's why I felt that comfortable that since we have, I think, the budget in there, it was way below our budget. I think that the budget was $130,000.
The other issue here we have is we've already projected the amount of budget that we're going to give you, and him or whoever Garland is has ability to go towards that ceiling instead of looking at what's out there.
No, he's not. That's why he wrote that down and put it in writing that is the max that it would go to, $118,000. That's the max. He's guaranteeing that. And then in that when the three bids come in, that he will guarantee that it will be under at 118 or below, not the 130, nothing like that, because he's not even aware of what my budget is.
And what if it comes to 40 or 20 or, I mean, I'm just saying that. And the thing is, we're not, how much square footage? I mean, my thing is we got to look at what the scope of the work is and what we're asking from all our people. It just makes good business sense.
Yeah, I'll get that information.
All right, anybody else? I would like to see the backup on these bids. We're
yes.
going to have a lot of this, and so I understand it, but it'd be more better information for the board that we're... And if it's issues that we're going on in terms of maybe in the recommendation from administration on the backup material, why we've decided to go for, you know, because of the bid issues, that way we'll know if that's a reason. That way we're not going to second guess the time period, and we'll know why these bids weren't done that way.
Right.
Just so for our information.
Chair.
Doc.
Ernesto, in our meeting Thursday, whenever it was.
Yeah, lost track, yeah.
We also discussed that you will be bringing back another set similar to this at the August board meeting for some of the other ones. Let's just make sure that we heed this council. And in the Friday packet prior, we get the scope of work and we get all these things for the next set. Not only do we need to provide in arrears what they're asking for tonight, but in the August, we need to have everything in there.
Yeah, the only one that I anticipate that it be over the amounts, just about, there's like only five of them. The rest of them have been under, because we're doing them internally by the district. They're below the 10,000 mark.
but I do get good quotes from vendors.
Like item number four, the electric power upgrade. Let's just make sure that before we come to the board in August on that, that we have the scope of work and all the materials to the board in the Friday packet prior so that they can fully see that.
Yes, yes. Okay.
All right, anybody else? Any other questions? We do have a motion before the board on agenda items A, C, and D. Now, number D, any board have any questions on item D?
Yes.
Nothing further? What is the amount on that one?
I'm sorry.
The wetlands.
Okay.
Not to exceed 50.
It's not to exceed. That's a request to use the engineer NSI. NSI, the reason I had wanted to go with NSI is because NSI is the original designer, the original engineer for that wetland project, one. Two is when we were having problems with it, six or eight months ago, we had gone ahead and hired them to help us out, and they went and familiarized themselves with the project. Okay, so they're familiar with what our issues are there. And they gave us a report on it. And in the report, they told us what needed to be repaired in order for us to meet the requirements by TCQ on that. And so I would like to stay with the same engineer, because if we go out and hire another engineer, then he's going to have to familiarize himself with this project again, do a little more research on it, and it's more time behind it when we've already hired this company 6 or 8 months ago to help us out with the problems that we were having with the meetings that Pablo was having out there, because some of the leach lines that were out there were not operable. They were not working because it had not been maintained in years. And so they came in and they did help us out. They brought it back up. We're compliant to date, but the wetlands are not at 100%. They're not at 100%. So I know that we have to do this. Now what they're going to do is they're going to put the specifications together. Like I stated, they're going to put the specifications strictly that they're going to take care of doing the monitoring. They're going to do all the construction supervision on that. They're going to do all the reporting, because we have to have reports for TCQ and, of course, for the board. They're going to do all that monitoring and all that reporting. And, of course, once this is done, they're going to put it out to bid. And then we're going to get contractors, three bids of different contractors, to do the report of that. Bring to the board, and we say, okay, these are the contractors that are going to bid on this thing. And obviously, we're going to recommend not necessarily the lowest bid, but the best value.
And the remaining $50,000 is sufficient. I know you noted in that it is going to be sufficient for.
Yes, of course. In fact, when we were doing these numbers, because of that report that they gave us 8 months ago, that's how I was able to come up with the budget number. Yeah, because I couldn't have done it by myself. I would have had to hire someone to do that. I couldn't put a number for this myself. So what they originally told us, of course, we didn't have the money then. 8 months ago, we weren't where we are right now. So when they told us it's going to be about, they're estimated between 40 to 50,000. It's not going to exceed 50,000. They say we can do it. In fact, they were saying that they could do another one for 40,000 next to it and abandon this one. But that's not the way we want to go, because according to Pablo, is that we currently have a license to use the existing one for 12 years, something like to that effect. It's for a length of time. The minute we do another one, then we're going to have to go out.
Relicense.
And relicense. And that,
that means that TCQ is going to come and visit us, and they may be looking at other things.
They'll have other requirements.
A bunch of studies and all that. So he told me that make sure that when it goes out to bid, it goes out to bid meaning repair and not remodel or upgrades. It's strictly repair. Because as long as we do repairs on that, what we will term as repairs, that's okay with TCQ.
I get it. All right. Any other questions from the board? All right. Tony.
Mrs. Cousins?
No.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
No.
Mr. Rodriguez?
No.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
All right. Motion fails. All right.
What would you like for me to do with the engineering? Do you want me to open it up to another engineer, the one for the wetlands? Is that what you...
I don't have a problem.
I just need a direction.
My thing is, I don't have a problem with the wetlands. That makes good sense. What I need is to make a solid decision. I need the backing of the information. I'm going to just make a motion that we table it till we get all the information that is needed. And if you can look at timelines and all that on what we talked about on the IMC. Okay. That's my motion.
The same thing with the roofing?
Right.
How do you want me to approach the roofing? Do you want me to
look at Garden as well as if there's somebody else on another cooperative, as well as...
We looked at roof care.
As well as a timeline on doing it in-house with our small thing, and then seeing how it doesn't necessarily have to be a hard bid, but I want to see some actual. My biggest thing is for me to make a decision on just a cooperative and not having any backup information. And my concern is, and I have talked to you about this, is sometimes it's good to use a cooperative, sometimes it's not. But if we just look at the cooperative, I want to see what else we're looking at to make sure we're making the right decision.
I have no idea. Do we have a job order contract with somebody?
Oh, Region 19 has a job order.
Oh, okay. So you want to go for Region 19 also?
Whatever is the best deal for the district and what's going to save the district money. I think what we need to look at, as well as there's other people within that cooperative, and if we have to bring them in all and do a scope of work or something, just what I've talked about in the past is we need to have a scope of work of what we're requesting these people to look at, and then once we get that scope of work, what proposals or what bids are coming in at that same time, so we could analyze and make. As a board member, I want to make the right decision and make sure that, first, it's not just about saving money, but it is about saving money. But we need to make sure that the people that are doing the job are qualified.
Correct. And of course, my recommendation, though, is to go with a company or a consulting company, because we don't have anybody that knows roofing the way we should know it. In other words, the way you did the roofing before you consulted with, I believe it was
commercial.
No. Consultant. You hired a consultant, Robert Kissinger.
Way back, and that was that side.
And what I'm saying is that you hired someone who was proficient in that, who was an expert on that, and then he put the specs together, and then it went out to bid. And what I'd like to recommend to the board is really I could go out and put a scope of work and a spec for a roofing project, but I'm not an expert in that. And I don't feel comfortable with that. I mean, I can put a spec, but there's no really guarantee I can tell you that I can get up there and I know what they're doing and all that, but there's nothing like having an expert in that area.
No, and I agree. We need to make sure that we have somebody that knowledgeable in that. Whether it's somebody we have on the small stuff or whether it's Garland, I just want to make sure I look at options and not just one thing.
And the options being along that line, getting a consultant
that, so we can, I can ask Ruth Kerr again to give, because he didn't want to touch that. He says, with the time frames that you have, I don't want to touch it. I didn't want to come here with a number to you, you know, if he was not feeling comfortable that he would do it. And but I can ask him again, and then I can, you can approach
So my motion would be to bring back all the information that is needed, and some, if there's time to get more to actually see if there's better deal about that, and then that's what I'm proposing as my motion. And
as your motion to do what? To table?
To table
all which items?
All of them.
Okay. Up to G?
Up to E.
No.
Up to E.
Just the ones he presented.
The three of them?
A through E?
A, B, C, D, and E?
Yeah, that's what I would like some direction on, President. Huh? On B and E, which are under 10,000, is it the board's desire for us to wait on that as well, or can we move forward on B and E?
Well, if you could, if it's going to be an aggregate, then it's best to look at all options.
The aggregate that he told us that he asked them to do aggregate on both of it. They didn't submit them that way. We can't force them to do it.
Well, no, I'm not forcing, because if they come in under the 10,000, they're able to do it. My thing is, there's other recommendations here to use either High Ridge, then that would go above the 10%, the 10,000.
I can do that. The issue here is that it's twofold. And I can do that. I don't have a problem with approaching the way you want to do it. It's a timeline that we're providing them. That's part of what we told them. Look, I need this done by this period of time. So they're being honest with us. They're being honest with us and say, look, I can give you a price for all three of them, but I can't guarantee that I'm going to finish them because, you know, I'd rather take a piece of it and the other and give another contract the other one, so you end up with two contractors that are working on it.
Same time.
That's the reason why they didn't give me that. It's just the commitment to the timeline that I told them. I have a timeline here. That's the only reason they didn't give me an aggregate.
We can take them.
They were being honest with me.
Take them.
I can ask for one if the timeline. If we agree that the timeline that we have here, we don't have to meet. I can get one. I don't have a problem with that.
Just for your information, if they're not submitted as aggregate bids, they're two different projects. You don't have to treat them that way. If they're under $10,000, my suggestion would be to let them, because they don't even have to bring those to you.
Yeah.
Or let them go forward, assuming the board's comfortable, letting them go forward with B and E, and then bring the other three items back.
But, Mr. Chair, if I might, counsel, I think what our policy states, if it's $10,000 single or aggregate,
it's a single purchase order, but it's two different vendors. I would agree with you. We were giving them both to High Ridge. I would agree with you. I would say let's put them together and we'll bring two.
But some of the other ones, not out of those two, but some of the other ones are possibly going to either one of those contractors. So then that would be the aggregate.
Some of the you're absolutely right on the part two. Is that what you're referring to? On the part two projects.
On these projects, on A or the other ones.
It's going to exceed 10,000.
It's just High Ridge.
But it will be after the fact. So if they do, you're going to have to bring them.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bid those out. I can't use them. Let's say I can't go to them and ask them.
Okay.
You know, I'm conscious of the
whatever the administration is able to do and under the legalities of it, then that's fine. I mean, if it's under that 10,000, then they could go ahead and do it. What I'm saying is, on the decisions that we have to make as board members, I want to see the package.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right, council. I am intending, since these three items were taken up as and voted all at once, I'm going to ask the board to vote on them individually because I think that may make a difference. Is there a issue with that?
We have a motion pending right now from Mr. Rodriguez to table the entire list of A through E. I don't recall.
He didn't get a second.
There is a second.
I know.
Right.
I'll do it now.
Okay.
Act on that.
All right, there's a motion and a second then now on agenda items 5, A, C, and D. Is that correct?
A through E, isn't it?
Or A, also B, C, D, and E.
Did you want all of them?
Yeah, all of them.
To table the...
The ones that the board has decision to make.
Well, that excludes items B and E.
It's covered under the motion, right? My motion would be...
You have a motion that was to table...
A through E.
If I'm wrong, A through E, without separating any out. That, I believe, was seconded. If you want to revise your motion, you have to revise the motion to address items B and E, which...
Couldn't I say to... My motion would be to table the items A through E on the ones the boards have decision...
I think we need to be specific. You need to identify those ones.
So it would be...
Right now you have all of them, A through E, on your motion. Is that the way you want?
So it would be A... Which ones are the ones that are under 10?
A, B, C, D, and E.
All are
under 10.
B and E are under 10.
B and E.
So it would be A, C, and D.
Are you amending your motion?
Correct. It would be, my motion is to table A, C, and D.
You need to second and discuss it.
I'll amend my second.
Okay. All right, now we have a motion. We have a motion before the board on agenda items A, C, and D, that those items be postponed to a future time. Any discussion from the board?
Good, Chair. Just a point of clarification. If he motions to table and they table, how would that affect what the intention of the president then to vote individually? Would it affect it?
Yes, you have them tabled.
They're tabled, period.
It would not be able to be.
Not.
That's right.
Okay.
So we have that, and that goes along my question now on item D, Mr. Armendariz. What is the timeline that we have for the support services and deal? Are any issues with respect to that? Would that give it a timeline? Is that why we?
NSI? It's not working at 100%.
Okay.
And so far, our readings are okay. We're not. But it's like I said. I'm the one that signs these things, and Pablo signs it. I sign it, and if things fall apart, we're in trouble. And then the board gets fined. But along with fining of the board, we get fined too. I get fined. And that's one of the reasons why I was trying to stay with the engineer of record, because he's more familiar with it, and we don't have to wait. The longer we wait, the more probability that things will happen. It's exactly as Pablo says. He says, hey, I've notified you. If things go bad, I did my job. I notified you. And the same goes with me. I say, well, I notified.
And what other engineer would be able to do this that can get on it right away, so to speak, hit the ground running?
Yes, jump on it, because he's done this.
What other one could there be that could hit the ground running for that project?
For that project, it would locally. I know Robert Kistner does, and I know there's two others that we can go to.
But they're not the ones that already have.
But they're not
familiar with this.
Familiar with it? Well, they're not familiar with it at all. As this one is.
Okay. All right, guys. And what about the timeline on the weight room? Is there another one at the approved by the co-op that?
Yeah, we
there's
can.
Others.
Root Carriers was in TCPN, and in fact, we asked Four Star to give us a price, and but he didn't want his too small a project for him at this time, and then the timeline also. But Root Carriers from TCPN, and I guess we could look at Region 19 and see if we can bring in somebody, as you stated, somebody from the job.
There's Region 19 and there's a small part of it.
Job order contract. Yeah, I think we can look in there and invite a job order contractor, which we got visited from Albuquerque, but I think he is a vendor. He so stated that he was a.
I just care about options. I mean.
All right.
Just bring back the.
Give me a second. The issue with the re-roof. What was the timeline you were wanting to get it done by?
schedule here.
November 17th.
Seven? No.
It's number nine.
Number nine. November 17th.
November 17th? Okay. And were the other ones, the other people that you contacted didn't want to commit to that date?
Well, one
did. One did not?
The one didn't want to. The other one said he was going to send me something, but I never received anything from him. But the roof care said, I can do the job. It's not a problem. He's with TCPN. He's the same. He's a consultant. And then he gets us through bids. But he said that with the timeline that we were providing, he didn't want to commit.
All right. And you think you can get us the name of another one or two by the August regular board meeting?
But I can get
another
I'm sure we can get
proposal
out there to get
right.
A third.
Okay, guys, I'm okay with postponing or delaying item A and C. I'm not comfortable with delaying item E. But if that's item D rather, the support services issue on the wetlands. I think we really need to really think about what we're doing on that. But any further discussion from the board?
I don't have a amendment unless you have a problem amendment. No, I'm asking. If you want to leave it, we could just go with that and see how
it works. I'm trying to. With this all regarding the wetlands and all that, you haven't talked to anybody locally that knows how to do it too? That
oh,
has,
yes.
And what did they tell you?
Definitely. There's a contractor that will do it, but I'm dealing with a contractor. I want somebody that I can point the finger at. If it doesn't work, he's not an engineer. He's a contractor. He'll come in and he says, yeah, I'll replace the pump, I'll do this, I'll do that. But what else do I have? I want that warranty. I want that guarantee that what he's doing is, I don't know anything about wetlands. It's just like I'm telling you about roofing. That's where I come from, is that it's, can we find a contractor? Definitely we can. In fact, he's the one that we're going to ask. In fact, he lives locally in the district. He's the one that we're going to ask for a proposal once the specification is done. What I need is a specification, some scope of work, something that says you're going to do it this way, you're going to meet this criteria, you're not going to deviate from this. But if I have a contractor and I'm being asked, or even Papa was being asked to take care of him, I think it's unfair. We're not experts in that.
So what you're saying is this person that you're going to ask, they're not qualified to actually tell you what's wrong with it?
Oh, he's qualified to tell me what's wrong with it. We have... Every contractor that we've gotten, the small contractors that can come in and repair, they tell you, well, this is not working. Now, he can say, I can fix it. And I just go and trust. I get nervous about that. I don't want to go and trust. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to get a professional involved to look.
You want him to like to research it, to do a study, tell you specifically.
Well, the study has been done by them. I just need by NSI, because they came in about 8 months ago. He's that far ahead of the game, which is it's just that when he gave us the number, I said I don't have $100,000. I don't have $50,000, and I don't have $100,000 to pay your fee to monitor and then to bid it up. I don't have that money. And I was keeping my fingers crossed that we passed the bond.
And when you're saying monitor, are you saying he's going to do this on a regular basis, or it's a one-shot deal? He's going to monitor it once, come look at it, or...
No, what
he's monitoring the construction of the repairs.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he doesn't do the monitoring. We continue doing the monitoring.
It's because you said monitor, that's
sorry,
right.
Sorry, apologies. Yeah, that's wrong term.
Right? But you're saying he's held liable. If something were to happen, then we have every right...
Well, he's the expert. NSI are the engineers. That's what they do. That's all they do, is this type of work, wastewater.
And what they do is they're responsible, and they make for the construction of this that it's following their specifications and that it is in compliance with all the laws and regulations that are required, of which I don't know anything about. So I have to rely on this engineer. You know, that's what they do. That's a specialized area. And that's why, now, I could go to Robert Kistner, I could go to a local engineer. That's not a problem. The problem here is that he has to go in there and start all over again. And we're just taking more time for this. It's similar to the wastewater treatment plant. You know, I wish we could get PSB to start the process because we have our money. It's just that they have to go through this exercise of having to do the process. Because I'd like to tie into a sewer line. It's just that we're waiting for PSB. In this case, I don't want a contractor. I don't want to be responsible because eventually you're going to turn to me. The board is going to turn to me and I'm going to say, well, I trusted the guy. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. You know, my recommendation to the board is to go through an engineer. And the reason that I selected NSI, and I just stumbled upon this last year because we were going crazy trying to figure out who could come and work on this thing, is because I went into the old specification books and lo and behold, I found it. NSI, and it was done in about 15 years ago or something like that. And I took a chance and called in Albuquerque to see if they were still around. Yeah, they're still around. And they remembered this project. They said, yeah, you guys bought, you know, this was new, and they were even involved in the purchase of the wastewater treatment. So this is all I'm saying, is that the reason I'm bringing it to this, and I know it makes the board uncomfortable. I understand that. I don't have a problem with this. I can do anything the board wants me to do. But I know it makes you feel uncomfortable that I come in with one recommendation. And the only reason I'm coming in with one recommendation is because he's the best bet. I mean, he knows this. They built it. So I'm doing what is my from my point of how I approach things, that's the smart thing to do. But if the board wishes for me to go to another engineer, I'll be glad to do it. That's not a problem. I was just trying to save time. I was trying to save money too, because the new guy that comes in is going to have to familiarize himself with the project. That's all I was trying to do. And I apologize if I only showed up with one, but you know what? I showed up with one. I tried to explain that in there, is that they're the guys. They're the guys that we need to go to. And I do need an engineer. I don't want to go with a contractor. If the board tells me to go to the contractor, to a contractor, and we run it ourselves, I don't want any part of it. It's a huge liability. Yes.
Thank you. I'll amend my second to exclude that one.
By way of order, we've got a motion that's been amended once. We need a second amendment.
Right.
That's going to be having to come from Mr. Rodriguez. My understanding is items that would be tabled now would be items A and items C.
That's it.
And then if you remove D, you'd have to take that up individually, depending on the vote on the motion.
Okay. So right. My motion would be to table items A and C.
All right. And you agree with the second
and to approve the others?
Yes. Well, the other ones we don't have to approve.
Right.
But this other one will be another motion.
A and C only at this time by a amended motion before the board. We have agenda items 5A and C to be tabled. And any further discussion with the board? If not, Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. González?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And that takes us to agenda item C.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion.
Or no, rather,
D.
Take that.
D. Well, we're not going to do nothing with B and E, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's D.
D, yeah.
Right.
I make a motion to approve the contract for wetlands renovation engineering for Bill Childress Elementary and the CISD support service complex as presented by administration.
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item D. Any further discussion? Actually, 2 seconds.
For the price of one.
Okay, any discussion from the board? Not Tony?
Mrs. Casas?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, next agenda item.
President, can I just, Doc? And I apologize if I'm a dunce here. Going back to B and E, were they tabled? Were B and E tabled? They were not tabled.
They were not.
No. It was information only because it was under 10,000. Well,
E is, correct me if I'm wrong, E is on page 62. Okay, no,
yeah. These are the ones where the documentation was given this to us here.
The D is over 10,000.
No.
Is that
one?
Okay.
No, they're both under 10,000. One's 6,600. The other one, I believe.
Even with an aggregate, yeah. No one is going over 10 grand.
Right. No one. Well, no one. There was an aggregate.
Approving.
They were the same vendor.
Yeah, the verbal quote is 2,200, whatever.
So they
were separate countries.
So, yeah. Pardon my ignorance. I'm just asking one more time. Does the board want us to not do B and E at this time?
Pull the board.
I understand from Mr. Armandada's presentation that he wanted to amend the agenda to show that those were only for information purposes only. No action to be requested of the pilots are there. It's up to the administration.
Right. I guess I'm just asking for direction.
If you want direction from the board, we can pull the board and give you direction if they feel if they feel comfortable with what's been presented. We don't have to give any
take
formal action, but we can give if you want the board's opinion about the presentation, we can. Rachel?
I'm fine with it.
Patsy?
Go on. Great. I'm okay with it. Just next time, please, I want to see it.
Oh, yes.
Please.
Betty?
I would appreciate that.
Okay. Mando?
That's administration.
All right. I mean, I don't have any problem with it. Just bring us the quotes, the proposals, next time. I know you brought them this time, and I know some of these items were time issues, and that's why we're getting them done really quick. And if so, just specify that the reason for some of these is that, and I'll be fine with it, but I also would like to have the backup material, these proposals. We're going to start getting a lot of these, not right now, but coming up here. And so.
And then I apologize to the board. That was my intent, is just that since it was for information, I didn't think I'd bring everything with me. Okay, but on the roofing, if I need some clarification on the roofing. Roof care was from TCPN. Went to see the roof, was willing to give me a price. Would that satisfy the board if I brought their number and then another one?
Whatever administration is going to bring to us, I'm ready to look at it and you all explain.
But along with his, maybe, here's my number, but it doesn't meet your timeline.
Obviously, we want to get it done.
But I'll bring you the numbers.
I would like to see our numbers, but
I want to see numbers, but they got to meet our timelines.
Yeah, that's. I just wanted a clarification. Since I already have them go out there and see it, it'll save me time to bring it to the next board.
So the next item is. Do we have to do E?
No, we do.
No, we already did it.
And Chair, I would just like to conclude by again, Mr. Armendariz, for the August meeting. We didn't have the numbers for the remaining, and then you and I need to work together on A through E and meet on that. Thank you. Thank you, President.
All right. Item F.
Item F, consider approval of purchase of 2 special education buses. Mr. Gatlin.
Mr. Chair, make the motion to approve the
special
education buses.
All right, we have a motion before the board on agenda item 5F. To approve the purchase of the 2 special education buses as presented by administration from Blue Star Bus Sales LTD in the amount of $192,070, which includes the $800 by board fee. Is that correct, Mr. Gatlin?
That is correct. And the reason I brought this to you so quickly after the other 10 buses, I'm going to try to put these on the same purchase order so we can save that $800.
There we go.
Did we also get them to drop off 5,000 off the bus?
They met. After I talked to them about the 10 last time, they're very competitive. I told you they would be. They were within $10 a piece on that last bid. If you look at the quotes, they were $10 a piece. So they're very competitive. I mean, they know what each other is doing.
How are we looking on our budgeted amount for these buses?
This is actually out of local funding, so this is the two we normally buy.
I'm talking about the bond on our other, the total buses.
We approved 10 purchases of 10 of them last week.
We have $1 million set aside.
And how much was that?
It was $88,000, I believe, for the 10.
880,000.
And 80,000? So we're 120 grand to the good? You know, one other thing that I think maybe the board might want to direct administration is to look at with that money, still for a bus, but an activity
bus. The one you've been talking about?
Yeah. Right. Even if you're going with the diesel, that you went with a new one with diesel, I would suggest a used diesel, because we're not going to get one for 120. Well, we might get one. I doubt it. Not a brand new one.
Well, I know what he's talking about. If you'll come by and see me tomorrow, we'll get that going.
Just to see if...
Yes, sir.
All right. Is that okay with the board? All right.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Now, on this one, this is the out of the funds that we budgeted for this year. Is that correct? All right. Any further discussion from the board? Tony?
Mrs. Hutchins?
Yes.
Mr. Cordova?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Serrano?
Yes.
All right, agenda item G.
Consider approval of 2011-12 stipends in Scarasco.
I have my notes up.
Good evening, Board President Coronado, Board Members, and Dr. Murphy.
Good evening, Ms. Carrasco. How are you?
I have provided the board two separate versions of the stipend listing. The first version was provided on June 16th. And in that stipend, I'm not going to go item for item, but basically what it's got is the recommended changes that were made by the personnel committee during our first budget presentation on compensation. The changes that were made by the personnel committee and this stipend listing were part of the internal adjustments that were requested. So in here, along with the dollar changes, we have some clarifying language in the stipends. For example, now we have 5 elementaries. In some instances, it only talks about 4 elementaries. And we just wanted to make it a little clearer. So we have some clarifying language in there. That was version one of the stipend. However, after the directive of the board to not to change out any internal adjustments that were made, the second stipend listing, the second version, was provided on June 27th. And what we did there was just kind of revert everything to the original amount that was there before. We just left the clarifying language in there, but there has been no increases, no dollar increases to those amounts. I also want to say that June 15th on Friday was our first payroll. So, of course, the budget was adopted with the original dollar amounts that were there. So, therefore, right now, you know, whatever the board decides, if we want to go with version one or version two, but everything was processed as if, I believe, finance has budgeted about $500,000 for the stipends, and that was the original amount that was proposed. If we go with version one, we're looking at probably an increase of about $38,000, $39,000, if you were to approve version one of the stipend listing, and of course, finance would have to make an amendment to the budget on the stipends.
And what would version two cost?
Version two is about $500,000, which is what we had last year. There's no changes in the dollar amounts.
$500,000?
It's about $500,000.
But that's the same as it was last year.
Yes, it is.
And version one is $538,000. Yes. $38,000.
Yes.
And if I recall right, the version two is the one that keeps it as last year? And
yes,
doesn't change.
Amounts.
It doesn't change.
And of course, if the board was to adopt version one tonight, we would go ahead and implement that. And then, if there were any stipends that were paid out in last payroll, then it would be retroactive, and we'll go ahead and make those adjustments.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Gonzalez.
I have a question. You said that. You say you went before personnel committee, and there was a version one and version two. There were some recommendations, and there was what triggered these increases?
The personnel committee reviewed the dollar amounts. For example, if I go to the CATE stipends, I believe on page 5 of the stipend listing, and I'm just going to list that as an example. If you go to the CATE stipends, basically what the committee had recommended was that we some of the stipends were at $12.50. Others were, two were at $12.50, and everything else was at $7.50. And so the personnel committee had recommended that we equalize them all to $12.50, based on the fact that, it is a student organization. We wanted to equalize them. And on top of that, I believe that the CATE funding has increased for this new school year. And so they felt that it was appropriate to go ahead and increase those amounts. And then, of course, we've had an additional recommendation for the HOSA and the FFA to increase that to $1,500, and just those two, and then leave everything else at $1,250.
Because those two units have extended contracts, no more days.
So those are kind of the examples as we went through that the committee looked at that and decided to go ahead and make those changes.
Through the chair, President, I do want to point out that if version one is chosen and there's an extra $38,000 put into stipends, Martha will have to find that money. It is not in the adopted budget, the $38,000. Because it was adopted with the current stipend schedule. I don't think it'll be too horrible to try to find it, but I do think the board needs to know that that money currently is not allocated for additional stipends.
Talking to Martha, it probably would come out of one of the PES.
Right.
Amounts. Mr. Chair, I am failing to understand how the difference in version one and version two. If it's been brought up that the FFA and HOSA stipends are to go up an additional $200, how's that going to make $38,000 difference? Obviously, there's a lot of others.
Yes.
All the other changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was just giving those an example, but in version one, all the strike-throughs, are all the recommended changes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Gonzalez.
Ms. Velasco, did you compare this throughout the other districts, or?
No, I didn't. I did not compare with other districts. However, when we were going through the compensation study that TASB did for us, they did take a look at the stipends, and they said that we were, within a reasonable variance ballpark at those that they could compare with other districts. So I personally did not make the comparison with other districts, but like I said, TASB did take a look at them, and that was their recommendation.
Did they specifically recommend option one with the $38,000 increase?
No, not necessarily. When they looked at the stipends, the list the way it was, they said, you know, that the variances were not that much to those selected ones that they looked at. But of course, you know, for the most part, it could be at the discretion of the district. And I did not compare that with, you know, with the other districts as to what they have, for example, you know, for the Spanish club, I don't know what PPIs yours that are paying. You know, that's one of the ones that we recommended. It went from $200 to $250.
If I may, another recommendation or another, what the personnel committee also looked at was, like, for example, the district science fair coordinators. And I don't have the exact dollar amounts in front of me, but if you will notice, the amount seemed to be the responsibilities of coordinating an actual district science fair seemed to exceed what the compensation was. And so we thought, in order to enhance and entice sponsors to participate, we thought we would increase those amounts. And those were the kind of considerations we had when we were discussing what we were, the amounts we were going to get. And then standardized some to the same amount.
So those were internal adjustments that we made.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Rodriguez.
So you mean Ms. Coates isn't doing the science fair anymore?
Armando.
Through the chair, I don't know how the board is thinking. If there is a feeling that option two would be better this year, and then go back and in the comprehensive salary check, bring it back next year along with a better look at the salaries. I don't know if that's where you guys are thinking. We still could fix one or two, like if the Kate stipend wanted to be fixed, you could go ahead and say, okay, option two, leave it the same, but go ahead and fix the Kate. You know, the option three, I guess, would be we could probably find something in the middle if there are some specific stipends that you want us to work on now.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
I wouldn't mind leaving it the way it was on the other one. We could do
Which other one?
Option two.
Okay.
Or option two.
The one we have right now.
Or depending on what the rest of the board goes with.
All right. Board? Rachel?
Option two,
which is the
original.
Leave it as is. Patsy?
Option two.
Lori?
Option two with the adjustment for the FFA and HOSA due to the fact they have a bigger load. They
it
have
would be all the Kate, right? Move them to 1250.
Yes. Okay. No, they moved to 15.
Right, but
the
move
two.
The others.
Yeah, everybody else so is already in version two. Everybody else is to 1250.
Well, everybody else in version two is at 750.
Then, Mr. Chairman,
oh, no, I'm looking at
that we approve option two with the what was that?
Oh, I see. Uh-huh, you're yes. Correct.
Ms. Earls, what would that be? Option two. Approve option two with the exception of
HOSA and FFA to be 1500.
Well, but
you, no, because they changed.
Approve all the Kate.
Yes.
Because you'd have to pull everyone up to 1250 and then them to 1500.
Right.
So, I mean, you. I apologize.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Version two with the Kate
adjustments.
There you go.
Okay. That sounds great.
Is that the motion?
Yes.
All right.
And of course, we're going to leave the clarifying language. And then I just want to make sure that what we added in here, the supplemental pay for Nickleby, that's from Title II. And it just wasn't reflected in the stipend listing, and so we're putting that in.
Yeah, the clarification language can stay.
Okay. I'll second.
All right.
Just real quick, on the other, when we get the stipends next year or early this year, or next year, if we could have the districts, each district, the five major districts, or our surrounding districts, Anthony,
Region 19, just Region 19.
We could do Region 19 or the five that surround us, and then do the high point, the midpoint, and do the low point on those as well.
Okay.
So that way we know where we're at next year.
All right, we have a motion and a second before the board to approve the stipend list as presented by administration. That would be version 2 with the CATE adjustment. Any discussion from the board? Anybody? I do have a question, and I know, I guess, the reason for the increase in the soccer, is that because there's a lot more participation than they anticipated from the year before? Do you know, Doc, or any?
I apologize, President, listener. I'm on
soccer.
Soccer?
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a jump.
We won that.
And I anticipated that it's because higher participation than the program.
There has been more participation.
So there was a. So what you're saying is that in option one, there's quite a jump for the soccer coaches at the middle school and the high school, or? Does this differentiate middle school soccer coaches?
From 750 to 150.
Yeah. Double, isn't it?
Double. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that there was an issue last year in recruiting someone to as a coach.
For soccer?
I'm not aware of that. Here comes
again, that would be the other reason. If we can attract people, then. And I don't mind doing that if that's the issue.
And I'll amend my motion.
If, yeah, I can do this.
Mr. Fry, there's a question as to why we would be wanting to raise the stipend for soccer coaches at the middle school. Would you know anything about that?
That's
me. I wouldn't know. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. And Ms. Casadas has made a point that most of the other stipends are higher than that period.
At the middle school.
All right, so you're including the soccer.
So it's version 2, Kate, and soccer.
Yes.
All right,
the middle school.
Yeah, you're good.
Middle school soccer.
Yeah, it was just to kind of bring them up and
see them.
Okay. You know, we might want to make sure we get some people in. The other thing, Martha, is if you'll check with if some of these issues that we're not specifically taking a look at some of these increases, is it because some of those jump out that if you'll ask them is because they can't attract people? Let us know and we can make some of those corrections, like the soccer ones, because I don't want to make sure that we get that we hire somebody there and get the participation. If that's going to be an issue, come back to us.
In some instances, that has been an issue. But we'll go ahead and make note of those so that we can.
And the rest of the equalization, I think the board will take care of next year.
So if the personnel committee, which would be the committee that oversees that, sees something that maybe we missed tonight, we could come back in August and present it at least to you.
Yes.
As just a small. All right, thank you.
Mr. Blackwell, I'm going to discuss something with the stipends and executive, but it's not going to change my vote right now.
We have a personnel matter. We'll
right.
Okay. All right. Anybody else for the discussion? Tony.
Mrs. Hassidy?
Yes.
Mr. Cardin?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Ross?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, it takes us to the next agenda item.
Item 6 is executive session at the time of 9:24 p.m. And the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Section 551.074.
for discussion of personnel matters, discussion of PEA local, PEC local, and to hear a recommendation for assistant principal of Canisteo High School.
Okay.
And the time is
10:50 p.m.
10:50.
Which year was it? Is it Maria or Magdalena? The new AC.
I got it right here.
I thought it was Maria.
That's right.
Maria? Oh no.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
All right. The board has concluded agenda item 6, executive session. The board ended its closed session at 10:50 p.m. on July 18, 2011. Tony, will take us to the next agenda item.
Item 7A, consider approval of recommendation of assistant principal for Canisteo High School.
All right.
Mr. President, I make a motion to approve the assistant principal for Canisteo High School based on the recommendation of administration Maria Reyna Salcedo.
Second. All right. We have a motion and a second on agenda item 7A. To approve the hiring of the assistant principal for Canisteo High School, that it be Maria Reyna Salcedo. Any discussion from the board? Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, that takes us to the last item.
Adjournment.
A unanimous consent.
I object.